Hey, welcome back to another episode, another Super Not Gay episode of If This Doesn't Work. Here with, you know what I'm bad at? Like introducing the guests. Because then it's like, then I feel like this weird obligation to be like, this is who he is, this is what he does, this is fucking.
Well, and it's Josh Grimes and I really don't do shit.
So okay, there we go.
There we go.
Right,
baby.
That's how I feel about most people. It's like, what are you supposed to say, like your achievements?
What do I bring to the table? I'm a father, husband, I got a job.
Exactly. It's like, what are the things you name? Who gives a fuck about those
Nobody
things?
Nobody cares. They just want to hear what I'm going to say that's going to fuck some things up, you know what I mean?
I do. Let me get one of those.
Want to get one of these?
Yeah. Josh brought over a bottle of tequila, and that's what we're drinking. We're sponsored by, what's the name of it?
Cazadores.
We're sponsored by Cazadores. They're giving us big checks around here.
They just don't know it yet.
Holy fuck, dude. I don't know why he did that to me, because we're on camera.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Man, what's it would up, have been dude? A podcast with me if I didn't bring a bottle.
What's up, dude? I knew you were bringing a bottle. I knew you wouldn't bring a chaser.
Why would I? I'm not got time to be cute.
Dude, that's all I have time for. That's the only time I'm on is cute time, bro. You ever worry about dying?
Oh, dude.
Dude, I went to my grandparents' 65th anniversary, 65th wedding anniversary, right?
Listen.
All I can think about is them dying. All I can think about is me dying. All I can think about is death. Everyone I know and love is going to die, and I can't stop thinking about it.
It reminds me of the Barbie movie. Did you see the Barbie movie?
No.
There's a scene in there where she's starting to become conscious as a person. And we got the family in there, and we're all watching it, and it's dead quiet. And she's like,
is this closer to you?
She's like,
Well, you can move it up. Move it. Yeah, dude. Yeah, there you go.
In the middle of her song, she asks, she cuts the line and goes, does anybody else think about death? My daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, 7-year-old daughter goes, I do. Real loud. Made the whole theater laugh. So, I mean.
Dude, that'll freak parents out, too.
Yeah.
I've heard parents say that their kid will talk about it or think about it. And it's like, well, look, it's normal. Like, it's super normal for a kid.
It's fucking scary. Especially when you have kids, man. When I didn't really think about it until, you know.
Think about your own death?
Yeah. But when you have the kids, I mean, shit. Every day. Yeah. Every day, I'm like, man, I could have died there.
Yeah.
I might die tonight.
And, well, because yeah, you know for a fact you're going to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's
pretty enough. And another thing that's fucked
well,
up about
way science is going, you never know.
Yeah, good luck, dude. You're gonna die, and here's the fucked up thing too. Like, your kids are gonna die.
Yeah,
you just pray. You know,
it's after me.
That's what I'm saying. You pray to God you're not gonna be here for it. But it's like
no parents.
Nothing belongs to you, and nothing belongs to anybody, and everything's gonna get. Even these bodies, I feel like we're borrowing them.
I mean,
80 years in these bitches, and they turn back into dust after a while. It's just like.
Everything about death is fucked up.
The impermanence is terrifying.
Even the funerals, I mean, they're fucking weird.
Well, dude, and not even just the death part, because who knows what that transition will be like. And I like to think of it as a transition.
Yeah.
But right before it,
dude,
if you're fucking, you know, I mean, listen, here's the 65th wedding anniversary of my grandparents. Afterwards, I was there, and it was only a couple of us left. And somebody was saying, like, one of my grandparents' children was like, I hate to say this, but, and then they wouldn't say it, and I'm like, no.
No, you gotta, at a view.
Not around me, not around
you gotta say it. Was it in front of everybody, like a eulogy?
No. It was their anniversary.
You tease.
And then everyone left, everyone left but me.
That's
and
right,
a couple other people. And, well, basically, a fucking viewing. I mean, it's not far off, bro. It's not far off from a viewing, bro. It really isn't. But one of their kids said, you know, I don't want to say it. And I'm like, no, you have to now. It's like, whatever the hard thing is say that thing. You know, it's probably what you need to say.
Sure.
And they were like, I don't know how sad I'm going to be when they die, you know? And then the person that was there that wasn't
I get it.
Them.
I get it.
Well, I did too. But the person that was there was a very proper person. It literally gasped. How could you say that?
Because they'll be not struggling anymore. It won't take them an hour to get to the fucking mailbox.
Listen, the reason we even started talking about it, right? Because so they can stop shitting on themselves every day.
Kill me.
Yeah.
Dude, let me die.
That's what I'm saying. So
don't put my kids through that. Let them remember me as a strong male that I'll fucking.
Yeah.
Strong male that I was.
He was a Marine too. And it's like.
I'll put that on me.
Well, he is a Marine, right? Once a Marine, always a Marine. He would yell at me for saying was, you know? But it's just like they, I don't know, man. I asked, I said, do you think this will be their last anniversary? You know, that's how we got started talking about it. And then when I asked that, the one person gasped then. They're like, what? And listen.
What do you mean?
You're too far away from that mic.
They got like 5, 10 more.
You can bring it closer
15
to you,
in you.
You can bring it like this. Look.
I'll maneuver it a few times. Ooh.
Yeah. So, but I asked and I said, you know, do you think it's going to be their last anniversary? And the person gasps and they go, why would you ask that? This is what they said to me. Why would you ask that? And I go, because I was thinking it.
To see my next April's free.
And I'm like, furthermore, you were thinking it. We were all thinking it. Yeah, there was a room full of 40 people in here thinking it. I just am the one who asked it. We're all thinking it. And the person I asked didn't take it bad. They were like, no, I don't think it'll be the last one. But
look, man, if Gunnar Henderson's on a 30-game hit streak, somebody's asking when his last game he's going to get a hit is. You really can't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like the quality of life is so low, you know, where it's like, how much of a life is it, you know? It's like my grandmother, she didn't even know it was her anniversary, you know what I mean? She just thought we were having like a party.
I think those people, the ones that the anniversary is for, usually the ones that don't give a fuck about it. Right. It's usually for everybody else.
It kind of was. Well, it's nice because, I'll be honest, like, we used to get together as a family for, like, holidays and shit, and that kind of goes out the window. Everyone gets their own lives. They start their own families. People move. People do this. People do that. So, like, it's one of those things where I kind of miss it, but I didn't know I missed it until we did it again for this anniversary. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, when you're younger and you're just like, this shit's boring. Like, this shit's gay. I don't want
to
be here.
And
like,
you finally got the control to be like, I'm not going. I'm starting my own tradition.
Yeah, which is also understandable, and I get it. But also, there's something about that tradition that feels like, even if it's obligatory, anytime something feels obligatory, I run.
Yeah, because you were made to go, but when you want it.
Yeah,
it's the nostalgic that you're not getting being forced to go there. You're not right. Getting that nostalgia.
Right.
You're just seeing your parents. You're seeing your uncle as the one year you see every one day of the year. You see them because they're forced to.
Yeah,
because
they're not people. I've
and they're giving you presents probably or some shit like that.
Yeah. So, but it just made me think about. I'm always thinking about my own death anyway. I'll get hyper focused on it, and I just think about the, you know, best case scenario. You live until you're like falling apart. I guess.
How do you think you're gonna die?
I'll probably be murdered. If I gotta be honest, I'm gonna probably be murdered.
Man, I couldn't even give you an answer.
How do you think you're gonna die? I mean, I guess it's old age, right? Mm. Cancer? What do you think? A lot of people get cancer.
Beat me.
Good luck with that.
I think if anything,
old age, the undefeated.
If anything takes me out, it's probably be a car accident. For somebody else's mistake, not mine.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course, that caveat. Not mine. Yeah.
I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think about it all the time. And I guess, how many kids you got now? 10?
Fucking feels like it. Three. Yeah. Three dogs, man.
Ooh.
Well, 4 dogs right now, taking care of a dog.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, what's one more to the pile?
Sure, add a kid. Why not?
I was the one against every dog, and then the fourth dog came to
the want the kids. You said the dogs are fine.
No, dude, I would have had a fucking basketball team if I could have.
Why couldn't you have?
I mean,
go get to work.
Feasibly.
Oh, money?
Yeah, I mean, I like having a good, well, the more you have, you know, the more they give you.
Yeah, but they, you know, it's funny too. I've heard people with multiple kids be like, once you have a certain amount, not financially, but like, they kind of look after each other. It's like, you tell you, hey, Mike, where's your brother? Hey, Josh, get your shit. You know what I mean? It's like,
I got three. I can imagine if it's seven.
Yeah, you delegate the responsibility. Hey, go check on your brother. Go check on your sister.
Nah, it's cool, man. The one always Holden, the youngest Holden, always wants to be with me. He wanted to come to that.
Holden's the man.
Holden is the man. He's getting in all his costumes because he can finally get himself dressed. Yeah, he's coming down in all these superhero costumes and shit.
You told me the one time when he said he was coming with you, and then he thought he like didn't like he would like forgot yeah. about it, and then he came down
with his shoes and his pants and his coat on, and said, "It's cold already."
So you damn sure took him. Yeah, there's no.
You have to at that point.
Yeah. You feel softer after having a kid?
And well, certain areas, for sure.
You just don't want to say you're soft. That's all that was. That's literally all that was your resistance to saying
overall, no. Yes, I'm a softer man.
There we go. Thank
overall,
you.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, I mean, you
fucking
to be.
Pussy. You fucking bitch, bro.
You have to be, man. You have to see things a certain way. Ways you don't, just because they don't line up with your lifestyle, they may line up with a friend's lifestyle, you know what I mean? And your kids are going to be fucking playing with other kids, and they're going to be a part of your life, so.
Dude, how is it, listen, how is, like, the having to hang out with, like, the kids, your kids' friends' parents?
Because I feel lucky so far.
Okay, here's how I feel like. I feel like.
There are some duds.
Dude.
Dude,
I can.
And probably on my part. Not just because they're not cool. Like, I'm probably
no, of
like.
Of course. You're not for everyone. Exactly. Fuck, that's how no. I feel. It's like, listen, I know I'm not for everyone. And no. I know everyone's not for me. But I am like, I feel like I can spot a normie, you know?
I see.
And I'm just like, when I if I tell you a story that's going on with me and it feels like a trauma dump for you, yeah. We're not.
I have to like wear the sheep's clothing for sure. Like
right.
I can't just
you
come
can't,
out there like,
no, right.
Are you guys ready to do some tequila shots? Because as casual as they can be for me and you, somebody might be like, I have work in 2 days,
bro. <You're laughs> work in 2 days. I can't drink right now. I have work this month.
It's okay. Yeah, I and you know, it's all right though. But you just can't bring like. Having no kids, you know, and I'd go to a party or something that to meet people like, you know, those people are getting a different dose of me than the people with kids. You know
yeah, I mean? Yeah, of course. And I mean, also around your kids are going to be different than you are around me.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. It's you just find a way to adapt. That's
Do you think when you're when someone does psychedelics, right? They do a heavy dose of like mushrooms, ayahuasca, any of the psychedelic drugs. Do you think that they're tapping into something like a spiritual different dimension? Or do you think it's just like a synapses of the brain and some type of like scientific reaction?
I fully believe it. I fully believe that you're tapping into something. Especially, I mean, you hear when you get into a stronger, you know, psychedelics like DMT or whatnot. There's just too many coincidental stories that we all go to that
That's
experience.
So here's how I feel about it. Like people think that I 100% believe in it because I've talked about it, but it's again
you gotta be skeptical to believe.
Well, that's I'm a skeptic.
You can't go in there like starry eyed and be like, this is it, this is
the
truth.
I believe that's the way to do everything, right?
Yeah, I mean,
your core should be skeptical. That's how I feel. It's just like there's a lot of bullshit around, but but just don't fuck me like you did last time.
You're already home. Sorry, I'm an enabler.
But yeah, I've presented the ideas before, and they're very interesting to me. Whether it's like some ancestral knowledge that you're tapping into, or a different like spiritual realm, or whether it's just like you're poisoning yourself and having these chemical reactions that are for whatever reason. But like you just said, one of the weirdest things is like going online and seeing an artist draw a place that you've been on DMT.
Yeah. And
it don't even make no fucking sense. I've never met this person. And you see something drawn and you're like, you get goosebumps. You're like, I saw that. I went there.
I tried DMT a couple times a long time ago. And,
drug addict.
I didn't watch any documentaries before. You know, I didn't want to. Yeah, you don't want somebody to tell
you're
you.
You're so far from that, Mike. It's
you don't,
so comical.
You don't want people
and again,
to...
And again, it extends.
I know it extends. I'm going back and forth with my shots,
bro. Well, you're going back with that mic game, baby.
Well, like, I didn't want to be swayed. I didn't want to be told what was going to happen. Sure. I wanted to experience myself, and God damn it. God damn it if it ain't spot on.
And here's the thing about DMT. You're talking about vaporizing it?
Well, I've done... The first time I vaporized it, the second time my dad... I hit out of a dad rig, and that... I predict the future.
Well, they're both vaporizing it, no?
Well, I mean, I imagine dabbing would be a little bit more.
Well, as opposed to what? That's what I mean.
Into a vape pen.
No, I meant dab.
Yeah, just dab.
That's what I mean. That's
I did a vape pen one
so,
the first
time.
So,
yeah, for anyone listening, for educational purposes, not for, you know, advocating. We're not advocating it, but DMT, like, if you want. So you can smoke DMT and not blast off.
Yeah,
right?
You for sure can.
So that's something people don't understand.
And
like,
it's very, very weird.
Oh, it is.
It might be weirder than blasting off.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, right.
Being in between those two worlds.
Listen.
Let go. If you try it, let go.
Hey, even when you just said it was weirder than blasting off, you knew that wasn't right. There's nothing weirder than blasting off.
There's nothing weirder.
I know what you mean. It's awkward. Yeah, it's awkward. It's like you're in this middle stage.
You're right. You're going to another dimension.
There's nothing weirder.
But it's smoother.
Well, there's no option, right? Yeah, you're gone. So the thing is, you can smoke DMT. Some people put it in their weed or they put it in their bowl, and that's fine. No, it's not. I lied. When I said it's fine, I lied. I mean, if you don't want to blast off, that's fine. But if you want to blast off into literally somewhere else, you do. They recommend 0.5 for a blast off dose. I say double it. I say no point. I'm sorry. They say listen. I swear to God, I do. Listen. They say 0.05. Let me correct myself. They say for DMT.
0.5 is a lot
for DMT. Yeah, that'd be crazy. For DMT, they say smoke 0.05. I say go 0.1, and you always put it in a dab rig. You get it hot, then you put the DMT and you take it as many times as you can, And then you blast off and you're gone. But you can do it and not blast off. And like you said, it's almost like blue balls. It's like this weird tripping blue ball.
I'm out. It feels like everything's moving. And
it's just fucking bizarre.
You want to throw up. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I've had some rough experiences with DMT and I haven't done it in years. The last time I did DMT technically would be ayahuasca, which is, again, that's like a long form of it. You know,
but you did it in the most like...
legit way.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Yeah, you did.
If you're going to do it, you do it. But DMT is a different thing. So that's another thing I'll say. The ayahuasca, it is a whole different type of difficult because of how long it is and how, like, it doesn't blast you off
your
permanently.
Your body reacts, right, too? Because you're...
I didn't puke or shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone else around me was puking
you're
and shitting.
Yeah.
Well, you know how I purged?
Your mental?
Screaming as loud as I could.
Nah, hey,
I was going...
Yeah,
dude, it was fucking insane.
Sometimes
so I was yawning and screaming. Everything was my like. I could not puke or shit for the life of me. I wanted too bad. And listen, what's weird is when people are puking and shitting. Well, I couldn't hear the shitting because they obviously left the place. But when they're puking into their buckets, it's coming from a place, dude, that sounds insane. It sounds demonic. It's
just like the deepest of
dude,
the deep.
It's exactly. It sounds like. And then listen, when I screamed,
because they're throwing their souls up.
When I screamed, when I screamed, it felt like it was coming from a place that was like the deepest of the deep. You know, but I don't claim to know what's going on there. I just know that you're not there. You know,
I know the most mind altering experience was the last time I did it, and I saw something that happened in the future a week later. Listen, me and my buddy did it.
you can see into the future?
Listen.
Bro, we're about to get rich. So get on the phone.
This fucking, I hit the
call the DMT guy. Imagine you just had a DMT guy. Dude, he would, imagine what he would dress like. Dude, yeah. The DMT guy would look crazy.
Probably like Nikki's.
Full government?
Yeah.
Yeah, he changed his name twice by now.
Yo, this, literally. I smoked it and... You know, how you just, you know, morph and you just go into something.
Hold on, dude. That's hilarious.
Smoke it and all of a sudden the wall in my room, there's a figure. It just comes into the wall, right? It just comes out of the wall. It's the design of the figure, it's a body. The sign of the figure is my wall, right? And it's like, come on, right? And it walks me into my fucking wall. My body's still in the chair. But
sure.
I go into
the
wall.
At the time, right?
It takes
you, hold on. At the time, you don't know that your body's still in the chair.
You look back.
Yeah.
You look back. You can physically look
back. Just making sure.
You can physically look back at yourself and see yourself sitting there like this. And I walk into this, into the wall, and it's just blackness, and they're walking me, and I look next to him, and it's just me walking. I like the, you know, he's probably part of an organization.
That's what it felt like, probably.
Yeah. So here's show me something.
Well, here's the thing, too. People don't get, like, they're like, you know, what did you see? It's like, no, here's what I felt.
Yeah.
So you may have seen a figure.
It's much more.
Felt.
Yeah.
Multiple. And then
it was welcoming.
Known.
It was welcoming.
Oh, interesting. So that's a great point, too. Because I've had experiences on DMT.
We're like, you're not supposed to be here.
That were unwelcoming. that were exactly that. That were like, bro, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked up. You want to see it? Here it is. And, uh-huh. And it was like fucking.
Well, this thing was like kind of was like, look what you got coming for you. So it's like a black room and it's just a hospital bed. And there's an old person sitting there. And you know how you can't remember distinctive things sometimes, but you can remember what happened? So I'm like, I know that person. And then next thing you know, I get real close and I halfway snap out of it. I think I go back to my body. I'm in my chair, but I'm looking up and there's three gigantic heads looking down at me. And one shakes his head and walks away like they're doctors. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm in the hospital chair. Snap out of it. I look at my buddy. I'm in full-blown tears as soon as I snap out of it. I don't know why. And I look right at him and say, my grandmother's going to die next week.
What, bro?
Bro, I don't know.
I've never heard this
Listen,
story.
I don't. I was like... I was in full-blown tears, and my buddy's like, why would you say something like that? I was like, because I just fucking seen it. What do you mean? You think I'm just making this up?
And also, what do you think my intentions are? You're like, why'd you say something like that? You're like, I hate that bitch. Like, what do you think?
But, like, you know how you don't really see what's happening. You just see.
You feel it.
You feel it.
That's what's hard to explain with your visions. You're like, what did you see when I... He's like, I felt this.
That was on a Friday night. The next year, skip forward till Friday night again. Right, I'm taking a nap right again from work. Chelsea wakes me up. My fucking grandfather gets rushed to the hospital. And he's in the hospital on emergency surgery. He's going to die. Now, I said my grandmother because I assumed it was her because she's an old lady. But how coincidental is to me say somebody's going to die. He made it.
Dude, there's something weird going on.
But, like, I tapped into something. There's no... You can't fucking throw a snowball in the dark and hit something like that.
Yeah. There's something going on.
But you possibly... Maybe you could.
That's the thing. Who knows?
You don't know.
I don't claim to know. I just know that, like... So when I went and did ayahuasca in Peru... we had the first experience and the, because we do it multiple times. So the first night we had it and people talk, we share about it the next day. And this girl said that she felt like people were doing surgery on her. Like these beings were doing surgery on her. Okay. Well, while I'm sitting there, like in between sessions, you're there all day, you know, I was reading this book about ayahuasca and they were talking about like multiple people. It was in the fucking book about getting surgery done in the visions. How weird is that, bro?
It's one of those things, right?
It could have been one of those things where it's like if you've heard about it, maybe then you're going to go to that place.
Maybe.
But there's people across the world.
They're writing about it. It's more than just
a
couple people.
That's what I'm saying, man. It was, and I didn't get that experience. I didn't get the surgery.
But you're also a lot more open than a lot of people. A lot of people have a lot more baggage that they tuck down in.
Brother.
I know you got your baggage.
Brother.
But you still are open way more than a normal person.
Listen. When that ayahuasca took me, the time it took me the hardest, I held on and I was fucking fighting it for the life of me. I could not surrender. I could not let go. I was genuinely concerned about my physical body and the people around me if I let go. I was genuinely concerned. It was, dude, I like to think that I don't have a lot of baggage and I'm evolved.
You got
and I'm
it.
A thinker. Bro, I was fighting this ayahuasca.
That's a
and
good
I know,
that's a good point.
I know not to fight it.
If you don't think you got baggage, smoke some of that stuff and then talk to me.
Well,
no.
Not even the smoking. Here's what I'm going to say about the smoking. I'm not downing it. I'm just saying the smoking is like, okay, put it this way. Someone told me one time they've never done any type of psychedelic. And they just jokingly said to me one time, I think I'm going to do some DMT. And I'm like, why? They're like, I want more understanding. And I laughed and I go, you're going to have less understanding. You know, like it's funny because if you smoke DMT, you'll never have had less understanding about the world. Now,
it make you question religion, it
dude.
Question
what do you mean? It makes you question everything. You know nothing. Right, you realize you just know nothing.
When you're going towards that light, before you blast, are you familiar with that?
Not necessarily the light. No,
I was going through it. I'm going towards it, and I'm the light is. I'm just getting closer and closer to it.
Like
and
a white light, like a regular light,
like a beam. Like I don't know. It's just like a bright star. You're just going towards. Next thing you know, I'm plunk, and I'm just floating. I'm just floating with this orb. It's talking
and
to me.
And it's not your body.
No, it's not my body.
It's your experience.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's
what people don't get. They think it's like you. It's like you're not in the presence of God. Your body would melt.
And when they talk
it's
about
your consciousness that goes.
When they talk about your body producing it before you die and when you're born, couldn't that be
DMT,
the white light we're seeing when everybody says they're dying?
Sure,
don't go
sure,
through the light.
Sure.
Because I've seen that light. I've been there. I flirted with it. I feel like I flirted with death doing that stuff.
Well, dude, some people, some researchers and stuff, and like psychonauts, they've went when they were dying, they've gotten like intramuscular LSD.
Oh my God!
I swear to God, and the things written about the person was like it was the most peaceful. They said it was the most peaceful passing. Because
what doctor got talked to for that?
Well, listen, fun fact: if you'd like to look it up, Johns Hopkins research with psilocybin. That's not LSD. Psilocybin is the active ingredient in mushrooms. They have done research where it alleviates people's fear of death. They gave it to terminal cancer patients at Johns Hopkins. They've done all this research. Johns Hopkins is the leader in the country, by the way, for psychedelic research. Fun fact. Right here in Maryland.
That's cool.
Shout out.
I didn't know that.
Yep, 100%. I tried to be a guinea pig for him. I tried to go do it, and I had done too many psychedelics. They wanted people with less psychedelic experience.
All right, I get it.
Yeah, for their whatever experience it was, but yeah. I told them I was experienced, and they were like, nah, we need people who haven't done it like
Justin
that.
Justin showed up a bib and a fork going, come on, baby.
I showed up tripping already. that's something. You want another shot, dude? Did you pour me one?
Yeah, you don't have
to. No, what do you mean have to? I know that, bro. Who's gonna make me? So I hate to be this person, but the last one was too big, that one was too small.
I got you.
No, see
the next one.
See,
I got you.
No. Next one, you're gonna fuck me.
No. I'm a man. I'm a man of learning.
You're a man of honor.
Being able to be critiqued. If you can't be critiqued, then what kind of bartender are you?
Well, dude, here's the thing about critiques, too. Let me talk about this. I always say, like, you can't get better if no one critiques you,
bro.
You can't.
I live with the critiquing goddess of Pasadena. Are you serious, bro?
Well, listen, you can't get better without it. And here's what I'll say too. Let me talk about myself. I will say, like, I want critique. I tell everyone.
Yeah,
I
won't critique. Want it. You
well,
want
listen,
it.
Listen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I tell people, please critique me. And when I get critique, I hear it, and it's not even
You're
my
wrong.
Conscious choice. It's not. Just, it's not even wrong, right? My system just goes, ugh. You know, it's not even a choice. It's like I tell people, I'm like, critique me, and then when they critique me, it's literally my. It's a reaction. It's not a response. That's the difference, right? Reaction I can't control. It's like my system. The response happens right after, and it's not long. And that's what the whole thing's about, is shortening the time in between. But my reaction is like, oh, and then I immediately am like, thank you so much. Like, that helps me. I need to know that. I need to know. Like, I almost wish like all my friends had this like. Almost like you know how they have safe words in sex, but like a code word for when you're about to be like a cunt. Like, can I give you some advice as a cunt? Like, as a cunt would? Like, because I really need someone to be a cunt to me sometimes. Like, so I can be like, okay, like, I don't know.
You need a kick in your ass.
Yeah, like, it, like literally, I had to break up with my last therapist because he was too soft. He was too nice. If you're listening to this, Luke, I know you know I have this. You were just too nice to me. He was like, he was buying my bullshit. He was like,
hey, Luke.
He knows I have this podcast, so he might be listening. Well, because listen, I asked him to come on here, and he was like, you know, not super happy about the name of it, and not sure if he could
imagine,
and not sure if he could come on and all this shit. But
that was a critique of him. The name of the podcast.
Yeah, he's not doing too hot, is he? No, I need someone to kind of be a cunt to me. So that's the thing about critique.
Nobody wants her ego take, because you're gonna put, if you're gonna do something. I got a good feeling that you're like me in that. If you're gonna do something, you're gonna do it to your best, and even though you need a rough draft. So when you do
what
it,
do you mean?
Like when you do something, you're gonna do it as best as you can. Now, even though you can be better, I mean, no, something like comedy or something like this,
yeah.
You can do the best you can, but you could do better. You can always do better.
Yeah, for sure.
And you need somebody to tell you that. Like, you may think you
that's
killed
the
it.
Thing, because I'm already hype on me.
Yeah, you may think you killed it. Like, I just fucking knocked it apart. You need somebody to be like,
that's the thing.
You hit a triple.
Listen,
you're going to hit a Herman next time.
Yes,
but this
listen. It almost feels like, to your point, it almost feels like he will be hyping me up. Because he thinks I'm like needing it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He'll think that I'm like full of shame or guilt. And he'll be like, dude, you're just, and I'm like, bro, I know. Like, I love me, bro. What are you talking about? I literally sucked my own dick one time. Like, I couldn't love me more, you know?
That could backfire.
What, the sucking my own dick?
No.
I only did it
never.
Once. I didn't come for
never.
The record.
That could never backfire.
Well, it feels a lot more like sucking a dick than getting your dick sucked. Which is not my original
no,
joke,
I
but
think
I did hear a comedian say that. I did suck my own dick, that's a fact, but I didn't make that joke up. But it couldn't be more put better. It feels a lot more like sucking a dick than getting your dick sucked.
I feel like a therapist is giving somebody false positives as a, you know, constant thing. Like, what if you go up to like last comic standing and be like, you know, I sucked really, but you told me I was great and you're telling me I'm fine.
Yeah.
I just signed on, like, they just tore me the fuck apart. Dude, I'm gonna go kill myself now.
Yeah. I'll be like super indecisive about some shit, and my therapist would be like, I just love how you're just like, you don't pick a side, you know? You're like right in the middle. I'm like,
Doc, that's why I'm
this
here.
Is my whole fucking problem. You know, I will say this, I've reframed it to go, because I used to make this joke that like when I go to a restaurant, I can't decide what I want, so I get the sampler platter. I've reframed the wording of that to, I know what I want. It's all those things. It's not that I am indecisive. It's that I want that and that and that.
That's why they had the sampler platter.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, for so long, I used to like kind of shame myself. Not actually shame, but like I used to just kind of get on myself mentally about like, just fucking pick one. And it's like, well, no, I want a little bit of all that, you know?
Like after a hangover, the best thing ever was going to get some egg rolls and some chicken wings. Dude, I don't know what it was. It was like a little Chinese food, a little American.
Bro, did you see that person drive through China Walk?
Dude, yeah. I mean, he probably wanted some egg rolls. Like, he's probably hungover.
Did you see that, Mike?
Yeah, I did. That's
Jesus. He was hungover for sure.
It had to be. I mean, shit.
You see, they finished the library?
Yeah, I did. By the way, speaking of libraries, the old library that they got rid of down by my house, they turned that into an old vinyl store and an old antique store. Shout out D-Vinyl.
Okay. Those guys are sponsored by D-Vinyl.
Those guys are the shit, Ben, down
Thank
there.
You.
It's like you walk into this old library. Yeah.
Shout out to name.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out Ben.
Ben is, I think he's the only worker there. You know what I mean? He owns the place. You go in there, it's an old library, and it's just all vinyl and CDs and tapes and all kinds of
Let
stuff.
Me just go ahead and put this on record. The new library, 2 years. It'll be vinyl. give it 2 years.
Dude,
no one's. What
how
are you
much gonna, money do we put in that fucking thing,
bro,
for 1 week of kids going there?
For 1 week of going there, and then going like, can we play Minecraft here?
Yeah,
or what the fuck is this?
That fucking library is
not Fortnite. Can we not play Fortnite here? Yeah, what the fuck is
no
this?
Chance.
And so, yeah, I just...
You want to say, yeah, a library, great, but like...
It's cute.
What are we fucking doing?
It's cute. It's adorable.
What are we doing?
And you see they're paving my road?
Yeah, you know what's adorable?
This road was fine.
You know what's adorable? Being able to see down my fucking street. How we put some streetlights over on Sunglow Road?
Yeah, County so-and-so. I know you're listening to this.
Fucking dude. Tim-key.
So listen. You know,
I know you're subscribed.
I know you're listening. I know you're watching, you motherfuckers. Yeah. Dude, I saw recently, I was looking for like local podcasts. You know, there's one that's called Real Pasadena.
The Real Pasadena? Bryce was just on there.
I know, bro. I didn't realize there was a podcast called that.
We were literally
that.
Just talking about that because you told me about it, right? Remember you told me about the Dina one and I was like, holy shit, I didn't know that. I see Bryce and I click on the podcast and I fucking follow him. So apparently I did
really?
Know.
But yeah, it's yeah, one of those things the algorithm didn't show you. I thought about changing the name of this one to Fake Pasadena. Did I tell you that? Just because like also like their shit's like legitimate. Because I wanted to get on there. It's like it'd be nice to get on there.
Yeah.
But I know that once they realize who I am, they're gonna think I'm a troll. They're just gonna be like, no way,
dude. If you
he told me, I think he told me to get on as an electrician. He's like, just go on with like the electrical.
Yeah, and just plug your shit the whole time.
Right. Yeah. So what's up, dude? What are you thinking about? How are you?
I'm good, man.
How have the unrelenting homosexual thoughts been?
I know you struggle with that. I've been
can you do me a favor? Can you back up about 4 feet and get away from that?
I've been suppressing them a lot better. You know.
Good. I'm happy about that. It's all about the suppression of them, you know? Let me see what I have in this list. This is what I've been thinking about. Ooh. Oh, a fire and ice class. You know what I did recently? I did a fire and ice class.
All right, there's two ways my mind's going.
Let me hear it.
That you did something with glass or fire and ice, I don't know, or some sexual shit with fire and ice. I'm leaning towards sexual. That was my first thought.
Well, thank you. But no, neither. I never know if it's neither or neither. Sometimes when I'm sounding to sound extra fancy, I'll say neither.
Whatever you say, I'm going to pick
it up.
I
think they both work.
They do. That's the problem.
Fire and ice sounds gay, though. So
what? No, I'm not saying it wasn't gay.
Lube.
I just said it sounds gay. It might be great. It just sounds gay.
Is it like a massage class?
No. It is, it's like a sauna and ice bath class.
Ooh. Okay, that's
cool.
You do
sauna, ice bath, sauna, ice bath.
I like.
I did it at 8 a.m. on a Saturday, and it was my first time doing it.
I don't like it anymore.
Well,
I don't like it anymore. Can I just stay up to it? Yeah.
I will tell you that, like, it's funny because I had someone tell me prior to going, like, they're like, you've never been? I'm like, no. And they're like, it feels like cocaine for the rest of the day. I was like, oh, you've never done it? Cocaine? Literally, bro. Not for a second did I think, wow, it's like cocaine. Not for a second, bro. And it made me so mad, the comparison. I'm just like, let's not compare it. Yeah, that's the thing. Why compare it to this like super strong?
Because cocaine only feels like cocaine for like 30 minutes.
And I also want to say I'm pro cocaine. Here's another take I will take. Everyone does cocaine. You know the joke when you get older, you realize everyone does cocaine. There's like memes about it. Everyone still does the cocaine, right? So it's like everyone acts like if you do it, you're gonna start smoking crack and sucking dick, and that does happen. It happened to me.
Started smoking crack yet? Then I think you're good.
Right? Exactly. Because your parents have done exactly. So my thing is like I'm for recreational cocaine use. Okay, not advocating. Educating, and because this is the education part. I have found this is my honest truth as far as being a drug addict. You're going to know this truth because I probably mentioned it.
But
I've noticed that like if I do cocaine and there's nothing else. The only reason I'm for cocaine is like if you're using it to enhance your time. If you're out partying and you're having a wonderful time and it feels fulfilling and it's a good time, and if you're doing a little coke to continue partying, I'm cool with that.
Advocate.
Right. I guess so. What I'm not cool with is like just sitting there and doing it all night over and over and over. No. And there's no other drinks involved. There's no drinks involved. Like
Just doing drugs. That's just literally
that's
doing
what I'm
drugs.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. So like I'm for cocaine bumps. I'm not for lines. Here's the thing of the difference. And this sounds silly, but I swear to God. Swear to God, the cocaine lines for me. If I'm drinking a little bit, because I won't do cocaine. Obviously, I don't do any drugs anymore. This is way in the past, but it would, you know, way in the past. It would be like I won't do a line of it. I wouldn't do a line of it. It would be like, okay, so if I'm out and I've already feel the alcohol and I'm drunk and I'm wanting to continue the time, I'll do a bump of cocaine. And I've noticed the difference is if I do a line of cocaine. The cocaine that I would be interested in doing when I did it would be very good. So it's like I'm not doing shitty coke. So it's like you don't need a whole lot first off. And then second off, if you do a big line of it, if I did a big line of it, my brain chemistry would spike so much that it's all I would think about. Well, this is all I would think about. So it's not, I could control it still because I'd be in public. Well, we'd be sharing
you
can whatever.
Control is the next time you do your cooking.
Well, all you can think about. Well, that's the thing. It's like, even if you couldn't control that, right? It's like, if I ever did a line, my dopamine and serotonin would spike so high, it would spike above where the alcohol had me. And then the alcohol was just in the way. I was just like drinking just to get me to the next line. You know what I mean? For some reason, the lines are too much for me.
I mean,
I'm a sensitive little baby boy.
Somewhere along the line, you learn to respect the drugs. It's like any drug.
Ooh, there we go.
You can abuse weed. I mean,
you use weed, a drug, don't let the drug use you.
I mean, think about everybody says weed's medicinal, but you're smoking weed every day. Being sober is medicinal.
It's a book. Drug use for adults is a book.
Keeping a clear head is the new high. Because if you're just getting stoned every day, I mean, I'm an advocate for weed for sure. But yeah. The matter of fact is, if you're constantly just pounding weed into your body all day, you lose the medicinal purposes.
I agree. It's
you're disrespecting.
And
the
you
weed.
Can do that with anything, with other drugs. Everything. You can do a porn. So
porn, I do do it.
Well, what I'm saying is, that's the thing. It's like, are you using this to do something that you need to do, or using it as a tool, or using it as it to enhance? Drugs aren't the problem, right? The problems are with inside. And then we overuse the drugs, and we don't realize the problems inside. And the drugs become problematic because we're using them to mask something or to heal or to run, even if we don't know it, we are. If you do it to a point where it's self-destructive, you're doing it. Whether you're doing the porn to a point where it's self-destructive and it's ruining the relationships, whatever the thing is, you're doing it because something's wrong with you inside. But as if you're doing drugs like you're doing coffee or like you're doing – like if you're doing something responsibly, I don't have any qualms with it.
Yeah.
We're pro-drug use over here. You know, that's where we're at.
I got one for you.
Tell me.
What about that Chris?
The sauna and the sauna and ice bath is good. It felt good. It was nice. It was cold. It felt good. I'll do it again. Not cocaine.
Yeah, I started off saying Chris Brown. Not Chris Brown. Did you hear Euphoria?
I did. Kendrick's diss back to Drake.
Yeah.
Let me hear. So what I do like about it, which is funny, is like. I like that the internet split about it.
Yeah.
So the internet split about it. It's not like, this
I would expect it to be. Because it's
sometimes it's a clear W.
For sure. But I think this one, Kendrick coming out, being that whole, you know, I'm too mature for this. Like, why don't you, I'm better than you already know it. I'm better being a dad. You're worrying about trying to fit in.
Here's what I'll say about the Euphoria. Let me back it up. Yeah. So look, what I loved about Euphoria, which is the Kendrick Lamar's diss against Drake, is that he didn't come off as trying too hard.
No, bro.
He started it like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he did the Kendrick thing where he was playing with his voice a little bit, and he just made it seem so, like, direct.
His wordplay is...
Well, here's what people were, like, even DJ Academics is like, it was weak. He said stuff that Pusha T said, yada, yada, yada. People were, like, literally not liking it, and I'm like, I thought it was great. I thought it was so direct, and I thought it progressively got better. Like, it progressively got better and worse.
When he started talking to him in the beat, and
really
still,
talking to
like,
him,
it was still lines. Like, just talking like he was, oh, bro, changing his pitch, going all this. And he was like,
yeah, I thought
you
it was great.
You don't know nothing about that being a dad, raising your kid. Oh my God, you don't know nothing about
that. Yeah. I thought it was very direct, and I thought it was simple in a way that was smart.
Yeah, because he didn't unleash everything. Once Drake responds.
And it's like that thing where it's like Albert Einstein said, if you can't explain something fully to a six-year-old and like how well do you know the subject or whatever. It's like Kendrick did that for – anyone can hear that and be like, I know exactly. Like he broke it down and was just like piece by piece. Drake's a piece of shit. He's not black. He's not a good dad.
But you push it too.
Yeah.
I'm a big Kendrick guy. That was dope. I like Drake too.
Well, here's the thing. Kendrick's obviously the better rapper, the better lyricist. Kendrick and J. Cole are clearly...
I don't understand why it's happening.
I know.
It should not ever happen.
Well, because Drake's big. This is why.
I understand why it's happening, but I don't understand what the fucking thought process is.
I had this talk recently with someone. As far as like actual rapping, like the hibbity hobbity rapping, like, you know, it's like J. Cole and Kendrick are on a way different level than Drake. But all when they talk about is the top three is like who's making the most moves, who's making pressure, who's causing the most, you know, ruckus. And it's like Drake happens to be in that. And people are like, well, he's not even a rapper. He's pop. And it's like, I get that. I've heard the argument since he's been started. I used to make the argument when I was younger. I was like, he's soft. He's not real. He's fucking, he never killed nobody. He was rich already. He didn't, you know, and it's like. Whatever the fuck he is, it's successful. And it's like, that's kind of all he's bragging about.
Yeah.
He's not sitting there. He might say he's a better rapper, but he knows in his heart of hearts, he's nowhere close.
And that was Kendrick's whole clip. that all you just want to do is fit in. Right. And you just want to be popular.
And
you
like, want to be black. Yeah, any black features money you got on this one. Money went to your head.
Yeah. You know, shit was tough. And I like also how, you know, Drake came with, what is it, the whatever this was called when he had all the Tupac AI. And
Snoop. That was crazy.
But then Kendrick comes and he doesn't use DMX's voice, but he quotes DMX talking, I don't like the way he walks. I don't like the way he talks. That's a flip. You know, you got to be artists are going to understand
like,
that.
Tupac roll in his grave. Don't make Tupac roll in his grave.
That's a flip. Ooh. You know what I mean?
And it's like whatever. And you know what else I love? When he goes, this ain't just me. It's what the culture feels.
Yo.
Oh, my God. The reason it hits is because it's true, right? It's one of those things where you're like, the whole culture does
like when
feel
he says
that.
The N-word.
Yeah. Like, don't say it no more. Stop.
That was awesome. You know what's cool, man? Because you know Kendrick's got that fire in him. And he did barely use it. He talked the whole time.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He made it seem like this is just another day. Like, you know, where it's like he could have.
I'm excited.
Well, and me too.
I'm excited.
But that's what he did a good job at not sounding excited, right? Kendrick's just like, all right, let me do this, you know? And I think that the inclination would be to like, let me go hard as fuck. And Kendrick's like, let me just. It was just so smart to me to go in soft.
Whether you like talking about it or not, like these people have been a part of our lives.
The blacks?
The culture. Drake and Kendrick have been a part of our lives for what, 15 years?
Solid,
you know,
too.
A solid 15.
Yeah.
Shit, that's half my lifespan.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I see you talk about music a lot. You like music. You do music. Yeah. You're into music. You're one of the first people I remember being honest about your Nickelback love.
Dude, yeah, bro. It makes me. Do you want to get me started on it?
Well, listen, it was like the thing to hate him. I remember liking Nickelback. Listen, this is everyone's
story. It's the leather bracelets and the leather necklaces.
This is everyone's story, though. Not everyone, but most people's. This is honestly my story, and I don't consider myself a poser. I've never been more of a poser than with
I'll fucking
Nickelback
drink to that, bud.
I've never been more of a Nickelback. I've never been more of a poser. I like Nickelback. My mom got their CD, and I like would jam to it. I was like, oh man, this is good. And then everyone was like, Nickelback sucks so much, and it got so into the zeitgeist that I was like, yeah, they do suck. And
you know, then everyone's saying, I'm through with them ringing in line.
How old were you?
When? With which one?
With your
when
mom's
I liked
CD.
It?
When you're with your mom's CD.
Dude, I wish I knew.
To be fair, I bet you it was around, because we're around the same age. Yeah. I liked Nickelback songs too, but like it was before the time in which I respected my own opinion, basically. I'm not saying they're bad. The internet did this thing where they chose this band.
That's what I mean.
Like
that's what I mean. My level of hate. My
every
level
band is not for everybody.
Right,
like, but
right.
They
but the level
did
of
not
hate
deserve that much hate, bro.
They do not
deserve that much hate.
That's
but
all.
They do have a couple. Like, what's the song about being like the Mile High Club song?
Oh, the fucking
Is that them?
I remember Animals.
That song's not great.
Animals, yeah.
That song's not great.
Name on the side of a bullet. Scratch your name on the side of a bullet.
Animals. That whole CD, bro.
That's what I'm talking about, brother.
They got some bangers. Next contestants on there.
Look at
how,
it.
How do you feel about Creed? Because I feel like that was the band that's like.
If you have the argument that I have against
it's
Nickelback,
the same
it's very
thing.
Similar.
Like
very
the
similar.
The internet decided they were another.
I'm in the same boat as I am with Creed with Nickelback, but Creed still gets more love than Nickelback. I mean, you play
you
Creed at a
so?
Bar at the end of the night.
More hard to say. Hard to say.
Yeah,
I don't
say
know.
More, but
for
not
sure.
much. Yeah, not much more. But definitely more.
Creed, yeah, another fucking. I mean, let's just appreciate greatness. It's like LeBron, bro.
Fuck
watching
you.
LeBron,
bro.
Right. Hating on him, bro. It's
Mike's
true,
like, too
bro.
Far.
I'm a hater, but that's me. That's me. I'm
I know,
it.
Dude.
It is what it is.
With arms wide open, son.
Oh, shit.
With
arms wide open. What was their other one? They had one more.
They got a bunch of them. They got In My Prison. Wide? Yeah, I got a bunch of them. I can barely think of them. With arms wide open. Shit, bro. If you play them, you fucking know.
I know. I probably know every word. But
dude, I went and seen that Eclipse.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
I drove to Cleveland and seen it. It was tight.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea was psyched for you when I told her you were going to Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah, she loves all that science stuff.
Really?
So do I. But
oh, well, I know she's a science nerd.
Yeah,
but
I told her you were
going
to Cleveland. She was like, that's going to be the best plot to view it.
Dude, it was tight.
I was like, yeah, it's pretty
it was
cool.
tight. It was tight. It was one of those things where it's like, yeah, the next one's in like 2044. Who knows where I'm going to be then? You know?
Somebody's going to kill you.
Yeah. We already went over this. Yeah, you can't see the fucking thing from solitary confinement. You can't see much fucking. But that was tight. Yeah. That was cool. I don't know if I talked about that on here. I mean, basically, there's not much to talk about. It just kind of went dark. I'll be honest, though. I thought it getting dark would have been the coolest part.
Yeah.
But the coolest part for me was in the sky.
For sure.
It's just like...
It didn't... I mean, here it didn't contrast as much. It had a cool glow.
They say it's all about the full coverage.
It had a cool glow, and it had like a cool, like, a cool couple minutes where everything looked a little different, but not too different. But it wasn't dark. It was just like a little shady, but... Looking up at that, that was pretty fucking cool. You can't explain it. You don't know how cool it's going to be until you actually look.
Yeah, I just imagine the cavemen seeing it. Freaking
looking
the fuck
up
out.
Looking up being blind as shit because they ain't got that fucking plastic paper glasses we got.
Yeah, seriously.
You're the first person to see the eclipse. Like, oh, what is happening?
I can't tell
you. God is mad. God is mad is what you would think. And that's what people still think, some of them. Which is hilarious.
Jesus is coming. Yeah. Jesus is coming.
Yeah, people definitely thought that. The red heifers and the fucking... dude, somebody... I'm just looking at your tattoo. You just reminded me. The other day, somebody asked me legitimately, which tattoo means the most to you? To me. Bro.
This one.
Bro. I was like, is none of the above an answer? I don't even know. I just feel like I personally hate that question so much. It's like, which... I can't even really discredit the person. They're trying to connect. They're making a thing. I got tattoos. They want to say.
Did they have tattoos?
I don't know. It was like on a dating app, and I fucking disconnected after they asked. Because I just am just like, I don't feel like, I don't.
She's better off.
Which one?
Polar bear way.
Which tattoo means the most? None of them. It's like.
Which one's the least meaningful?
Ooh, well, that's a better one.
Yeah.
That's a wait. I got an answer for that. I don't have an answer for the other
one.
Which one means nothing to you?
I got an answer for that.
Great question. Which one means nothing? All of them. I swear to God, they don't mean anything to me. But I have some worse ones, which
are
fun.
How much money did you put into that nothingness?
Oh, it's not that they're nothing.
I put a lot of money
into
a lot of
nothing. There's no meaning, you know? Sure. I mean, they look neat. That's all I'm here for. That's all I'm here for.
Hey,
but honestly, I've seen someone write one time, I'm covered in tattoos it was like a video or something, and it was like, I forget the exact context, but it was like a guy covered in tattoos who's seen another guy covered in tattoos, and he was like, wildly insecure too, huh? and I saw it, and I had to do like some self-analysis. I'm like, holy fuck, because I did start getting them young, you know? Now, I don't get them like that now because I like them at this point, but I'm sure there was like a factor there, like at least a part of it.
Well, but, I appreciate your tattoos because they got us into that concert I bought the wrong tickets for.
You think my tattoos did it?
For sure. If I'd have went up to that door and said I bought wrong tickets, they'd have been like, get the fuck out of here and bump them. You know what I mean? You showed up tattooed all down on there like, come on in, brother.
Come
on. It's
all
right, brother.
It's pretty privileged.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You see MGK's tattoo?
What? You got a new one?
You ain't seen all his tattoo? Oh, shit. Yeah, he got his shit blacked out.
I used to be a big MGK guy coming up until he, you know, went to that whole modeling and sell that shit. But, you know, it's funny. Yeah, I got respect for him because his whole way up, he's talking about, you know, I ain't selling up for shit. My stove used to be my heating in my apartment. I ain't never selling out. Now he's modeling everything. Good for him. But the music is...
All I'm talking about is a tattoo. I will say this. I looked at the tattoo. I don't like MGK. I think he's a cornball. Not because he paints his nails. I think that's dope. Not because he models. I think that's dope. I've seen how he acts on interviews and stuff.
He's a cornball. And he became that way.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, you know, Mark Love, whatever. He's fucking Megan Fox. He's like 7 feet tall.
He used to be the man.
Yes. But I will say this. He had shitty tattoos, you know? So the blacked out looks better. I think it's a dope look. I wish I want to hate it because I don't like him really, but like it looks badass. He's got, you know how people black out their arm?
Mm-hmm.
So he blacked out his whole arms and chest, but then left like a cross empty of his old tattoos. The shit's tough looking. It like honestly it looks badass, but which tattoo means the least to me? I can tell you which ones are the gayest. How about that? Which are the gayest?
Sure.
I have a tattoo that goes down my right back of my right arm that says soldier. Right? The entire span from my shoulder to elbow. Never been in any military, okay? Just claim to be like a street soldier. Like how? That's the gayest shit in the world, bro.
Oh, fucking street
got
soldier.
That. And then when I got my sleeve, I was like, I'd like to cover this up. And he was like, it's so big that like the cover up will look crazy. You're better off just like covering it, putting things around it.
And yeah, just hiding it.
Yes. And I've done that and no one notices it until I tell him, which I make sure to tell like everyone. You know, this like, this is what's gay about me.
Where'd you serve? Nowhere.
And then, yeah. Oh, well, dude, just yesterday I went somewhere. People asked me if I'm in the military because I got like a high cut, and then I got Arabic on my face just yesterday. He's like, what branch? I'm like, fuck, dude. But
I got asked yesterday if I was in the military.
Well, because this guy was in the military, so he's assumed that was.
A bug guy came to our house, and I had my black frame glasses on, like the most like, basic. Fucking, they had to do the fade. Right. So you get in the military, I said, "Not me, bro. You see this fucking stomach? Like,
yeah. I'm more of a lover, brother." But my second gayest tattoo is like, you know how people get their last name on the top of their back as a rocker, all across the top of my back, maybe 3 inches tall, all the way across. It says Infamous. Which is also pretty gay.
Can I pick you apart a little bit from here?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so like the only from where I'm sitting that I don't love, it looks well done. The clouds, the filler you have on your like inner elbow to inner fucking arm. I don't love filler tattoos. It just feels like extra bullshit. Let me connect some bullshit to some other bullshit. Don't love it. The fucking stars. The reverse stars, so like the stars aren't colored in, it's just blackness
reverse
around
imagery,
them.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Is that supposed to be like American flag bullshit?
Yeah,
or like
stars and stripes?
I don't see the stripes.
The stripes are up here.
They're up there. Yeah. I don't see that.
Yeah, well, you don't, from where you're sitting, And honestly, we decided to do the negative imagery because of this huge scar I have. I have this huge scar right here.
Yeah.
And we decided to make that like that because there's no way he said he could tattoo it. It was like,
I mean, there's a million ways he could have tattooed. He didn't want to.
Well, that's fine.
Okay, I'm kidding.
That's probably right.
I don't fucking know.
That's probably accurate. You know, that's probably accurate.
But you see these people with like fucking amputees, they get their shits tattooed up they feel better and shit. So there's ways.
For sure.
When I was a young
I'm
man,
just
I
kidding,
to
though.
Get
I'm still just kidding.
No,
I wanted
I
to get my surgery,
that.
My Tommy John surgery scar right here. I wanted to get baseball stitches on it when I was younger because it was a baseball injury.
Pretty funny.
When I was younger, they were like, "We're not tattooing."
How do you
scar.
Get the Tommy John? Just throwing too much?
So, a ligament
having too
or
big
tendon,
a dick or what?
A ligament or a tendon snapped, and it ripped the corner of my elbow bone.
From what?
Pitching,
throwing.
Yeah. And they had to drill holes all through my elbow. Take a so a ligament. So this ligament right here, you know, you got that right here.
That's a watch, dumbass.
If you have that right here, it's like a pointless ligament. It doesn't do anything for you. So they took. Some people are born without it.
Don't talk about my ligaments like that.
They took mine out right here, and they drilled it. And
you just have a pointless ligament in there?
Yeah. We're born with them.
Huh.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how fucking pointless it is.
You're
but,
not?
I mean, in some aspects, I could be a doctor.
Dude, let me ask you this. You ever been apologizing to somebody and then got mad again while you're apologizing?
Every time I apologize.
Here's what's funny.
If you're not accepting it the way that I'm giving it, then I'm getting pissed off.
Well, so that's not what happens for me. What happens for me is, so here's exactly what how my shit goes. I'll react instead of respond. Something will happen, and I'll feel it in my system, and I'll react to it. And very shortly after that, I'll be like, compassion will come in. Because I don't think ego and compassion can be at the same place at the same time.
That's a good point.
I don't think they can be in the same place at the same time. So I'll step in compassion and I'll go, oh my God. And when I zoom out, I'm like, well, this person's great. We have a great relationship. I love them or whatever it is. And then I'll go to apologize and I'll go, hey, I'm sorry. I was being like, my defensiveness kicked in. And I'm like, it's just that when I said this, you had said this. And then it's like, and then I swear to God, I'll feel, before I even notice it, I'll feel my eyebrows go from this to this. And it's the slightest change in the world, but then I notice it. I'll be apologizing, and then my eyebrows get down, and I'm like, and then you fucking. Because when I go to replay the situation, the ego steps back in. And it's funny because it's like so you would think that, or I would think that, like, I used to think that if you step into compassion, like, okay, the ego is going to go away. And it's like, well, no, I stepped into compassion, but then I have to, like, keep reeling it back
in. Well,
that's
a good outlook because, like, those things that people tell you to do, step into compassion, you know, see things from other people's ways, be empathetic. Those things aren't natural to do.
No.
Whether you think they are or not.
Good. Your ego and your defensiveness.
Just because you do it once doesn't mean you're going to do it right five more times.
It's
in the
not
same,
linear. Exactly.
Exactly.
That's what people think. That's what
it
like,
takes work. It's hard. That's why you got to appreciate when somebody does it.
It's a practice.
Art. Yeah.
It's a spiritual practice.
For
it's
sure.
It's a self.
So when somebody brings some empathy my way and or something like that you're talking about, it's really hard to it's really important to receive it as well as the person's giving it.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not just saying sorry. If it's easy to say sorry like that, that's because you're just saying sorry to get something.
Yeah.
When it's hard to say
because
sorry,
because you gotta fight it back. You do, yes. and it's like
because once, if I'm saying sorry, I'm saying sorry for something that I did that I believe that I right. was right for.
And here's the thing about the spiritual journey or like the whatever the past. Somebody asked me recently if I'm spiritual, and I said I wouldn't classify myself as that only because I hate labels. I think that most I genuinely think that most people with my sensibilities
rebel to the fucking core.
I really
baby.
Am. I think that we're too dynamic to put a label on, but I think that the thoughts and people are too dynamic to put labels on normally. But I said that people with my sensibilities would classify themselves as spiritual, but I don't think that I am. What am I even talking about? I lost it.
I don't know, but basically, capitalism, right? That's what this whole thing is like based on this country. So like, we're not trying to be empathetic. We're trying to get over on each other. We're trying to be the best.
In the business world,
and if you feel that way and you portray that way,
it's all connected.
But not
everything's connected.
It doesn't have to be. Not in my circle. But not in my close relationship.
When it's like women and men, dude, it's fucking very. Very competitive again. Yeah, we're back to
not in my close relationships.
Like, maybe not.
Yeah. But thinking like that is the first step to portraying that.
Well, yes, you're correct. It starts from that. And it's like the competitive mindset and all that is not real. And that comes from that. It does. It's capitalism. It's the business world.
We built this country on, man.
I get that.
So, like, it's ingrained in you.
I know, but I'm cool with
it. You know everybody's out for something. They got their own motives.
And
that's something you got to have in the back of your head.
But not building the relationship.
When you're dealing with any person. What am I gonna? Am I ready to lay my ego down and look like less of a person to say sorry and admit that I'm wrong for somebody that I think might have ulterior motives?
It's tough.
That's a lot to it.
It's tough.
So that's why it's important to be empathetic when somebody comes to your door and is ready to say sorry for something like that, because you know all those factors come into play.
Let me ask you this: Do you think you can say? So look, let me put it this way: for years, I used to say, and it helped me. It was a nice tool, but I don't find it to be true now. So I do. I kind of am leading the witness. Because I just told you how I feel about it. But for years I would say, because people would be like, people would have issue. I would have issue with forgiveness. And then it used to be like, well, I can forgive somebody and say fuck them. Like
for sure. For sure.
So I said,
I'm all on board with that.
Okay. I was on board with that for years. I don't know that I am anymore. And here's why. If I have truly forgiven someone, it ain't going to be fuck them. Not for what they had done. Because they didn't. So like the highest spiritual path of forgiveness is there. You don't have to forgive anyone because you don't feel like anyone's even wronged you. You just are so understanding that someone comes to apologize and you're like, for what?
I agree with that too.
That, you know?
I agree 100%
so
with that too.
My point is like, I think that you can get to a point where it is, so I forgive you, but fuck you.
What could you say and sorry to me for when I don't, what's an ant on elephant?
Yeah. You haven't even hurt
me. You're
going
to do what you're going to do.
You
anyway.
Haven't hurt me. Yeah. You, it wasn't personal.
Yeah. You're that's just, okay. You said what you said. That's fine.
Yeah. I didn't even
notice forgive
it.
You, but I don't give a fuck.
I would forgive you, but I didn't even notice you did it.
Yeah, I get
you
that.
You didn't hurt
Dude.
Me.
I'm more on that level than I am the previous one.
If your best friend, like, fucks your wife, like, no, you can forgive them, but it is also fuck you. Like, we had a relationship. Like, you.
I don't know that that's full forgiveness,
are
then.
Well.
That's all.
That, but like the thing you're talking about, I feel like is an idea more than it's an actual thing.
It is. I'm like in
Buddha was a human being, and like what was written about him was just what people liked him wrote about him. It doesn't necessarily mean it was actually true.
I don't know that it was
true. The idea of
I don't
like,
know that it was true.
That's
you know what I mean?
No, but I'm not claiming it was true. I'm not claiming any of it's true.
Historical literature like that.
Yeah. All of it.
That you're like,
all of it.
Yeah, whoever,
all of it. The Bible.
History is written by the winner. You know what I mean?
That is my favorite quote known to man.
Yeah. For
to
sure.
The victor goes the spoils.
That's
the not. Winner writes the history books. There's no better quote than that because it's the truest thing. Everything we learn in school, everything they're pressed down your throat
I agree.
Is what you're fucking supposed to. Look, growing up watching war movies,
let me just
we're
something.
Always the number one person in the country, right?
Well, you know the
America's.
Yeah.
Right on, right? We're always the best guys, right?
It's all propaganda. All
propaganda
even
is
all the war
the,
movies.
And you know what?
You know the Pentagon funds movies?
What?
I did not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
What?
Swear to God, I had to
what
look it
movies?
Up. Black Hawk Down, fucking Red Dawn.
All the fucking movies that pro fucking America.
No. Those are the ones I'm naming, but they've also funded like fucking Ant-Man and like the other ones, like a lot of weird ones. Like I swear, you can look it up. There's a list.
Well, Ant-Man.
There's a list. They have to publicly do it, and they say that the reason they say that they're doing it is because they're using like their bases and their military stuff and yada yada yada. But it's propaganda.
Look, man,
everything's propaganda.
It's all propaganda. Even Marvel World.
Let me ask you this. Oh, they did some Marvel stuff.
The Marvel World is propaganda.
Yeah.
You sure?
The Captain America.
Captain America was the hilarious. First form of propaganda for comics. They made it. What was this? World War One? I don't want to speak out. Fact check me if you want. I don't give a fuck.
This isn't a fact based channel. It's no. Feelings first.
Captain America.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about facts. Don't worry about
it. Captain America was for propaganda. They made him for the one war we were in: World War II, World War II, World War One, World War Two, one of the two. He was the comic to.
Yeah,
build up American spirit
to get kids.
You know what I hate about Captain America is the fact that you can't dislike Captain America for fear of people being like,
"You're a commie."
What do you mean? You don't like Captain America?
What are you fucking Saddam's fucking right hand man,
like,
bro?
Fuck that guy. He sucks. He's lame. The shield's dumb. I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
Yeah, he's sorry. They spoon feed you a lot of shit. You know what? I really like Fury. The movie Fury. Have you guys seen Fury?
The tank movie.
Yeah, the tank movie. You know why I really like that? Because it showed
Brad
how
was in it.
How no.
I liked it for that reason.
Awesome person in war movie, but the fact of the matter of our guys were dogs. Like they were raping people. They were fucking. They were robbing.
We can't
robbing
have
houses.
One episode without rape.
But no.
Like, to be fair, like when
no,
you put
real.
People like
I want the doggest of the doggest people to
that's
be the ones
out
that
there.
Are fucking killing people.
Literally, that's who's
I want
out
the,
there.
I want to send our greasiest people over there to do. And they showed a good job that we're the good guys in the war, but we're also the bad guys
we're
over there.
We're not good,
you know
but we
I mean?
Are good. But
we're
not
bad
good.
Guys to the bad people.
Exactly.
Only. Exactly. We're the good guys.
I thought Fury should.
We're the good guys.
I thought Fury should have.
We are the
good
guys. We're the good guys. Don't forget it.
Always.
Let me ask you this then. Do you feel like it's full forgiveness if it's still fuck you for that thing? Forget Buddha. Like, I'm not talking about Buddha.
Those
are the ideals.
Like, if you had feelings that you wanted to kill that person and now those are gone, that you could argue that's forgiveness. Like, you don't have to
you could argue that's
them
a step
to the
on
point
the path
where you
of
now
forgiveness.
Have positive feelings for them.
I'm not saying
you know
positive
saying?
Feelings. That's a stretch.
Okay, that's right. So, like, what,
not positive
what
feelings,
I say?
But it's not
I
fuck
said,
you. That's all.
No, you're on the right. You're on the right path.
You.
I'm on the path with you.
Fuck you is very, very like vanilla thing for me. It doesn't mean anything.
No, I understand.
It means like I don't like you right now.
Good point. And I've also said you can forgive someone and not want to be around them. You know, or accept someone.
Sure.
Like
I could love you. I could love you infinitely and not want to be around
can
you
for
fully,
sure
let me ask you
because
this
because when I see you all I think about that time you fucking did me wrong but I know that's not you but you did it
yeah
you did
yeah,
it
sure.
And it, you can't take it back but I know you're not that person
or
but our relationship is tainted by you did it
yeah for
yeah,
sure
that's
or,
a fucking
or
good
even,
way
that's
it.
A real
that's
thing
a very good way to put it
yeah or even like yeah I agree let me ask you this do you think you can fully accept someone fully
no
and want them to change
no.
Like, the fuck you Why isn't, you gonna... like, an active wanting bad things to happen.
I know that.
Right?
I don't think you can.
So, like, if I had that, you would be right, I think. It's not forgiveness. If I'm still holding on to something. But my thing is just, like, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to do it again.
You don't have to give them the kind opportunity, and then also it's not fuck them. It's if, like, I love them. They're a person. They're a human being just like me. There's no fuck them.
If
you know?
Somebody
wants
the ultimate
you can also
ideal.
Love... And say fuck them at the same. You, know,
you can, you can.
Yeah, okay. If somebody's going to do something so bad
for
dude.
The thing that you said you forget, I don't know if it's total forgiveness. And so, you, do you think you said you can't accept somebody fully and want them to change?
No, I don't think you can.
Interesting.
Give me
what
examples
do you
of what they did, because like it all
forget
depends.
Forget the forgiveness
dude.
Thing. Let me ask you that. Do you think you
let's
can
go
fully...
back to the best friend that fucks your wife? Like, can
okay.
you forgive that person? Like, really?
Can,
to me,
no,
it
depends.
Though, to,
you can't.
Normally, I'd be like, that's on the wife because she's the one that is.
But here's
a,
the thing. Maybe
thing
you,
you
can't forgive them. I'm not saying to forgive them, but don't say you forgive them and then be like, fuck them.
My
the
thing
point,
is like
the point because
that's all.
A lot of people
I'm
say,
not saying everyone's worthy
of
it.
Behind that, I want to look like I'm forgiven, but I'm not really forgiven.
And you
well,
forgive them
yeah.
for you. Like to me, sure. forgiveness is for you more than them. To get forgiveness is what you deserve,
bro,
not
like,
them.
I'm not gonna tell you I forgive
you
because
you don't
want to
hold
really
on to that poison.
But I do think a lot of people will say that because
they will because they want to be accepted into the. Hey, good on me. And in their mind, like let's say my best friend fucked my wife and I give him forgiveness. Somehow I'm going to twist in my mind, well, I gave him a pass. I gave him the forgiveness.
If my best friend fucks
so
my girlfriend, he helps
he got
me out.
All the ones up on me.
Now I won't marry that girl, but if he fucks your wife, that's, yeah, he's fucking with a thing that you've now.
Yeah, I don't care what you say, you're not going to forgive him.
Yeah.
You can't forgive him. Because they crossed that fucking line.
If it's your girlfriend, though, he's helping you out.
That's how you'd feel if someone fucked your girlfriend?
Yeah, well, because he's telling me that...
I get the point.
I don't marry that person
I
now.
Get the point,
you know
but
what
he
mean?
Still fucked your girlfriend. What do you mean?
But I honestly,
he may help you, but
if I'm with any girl, I'm telling all my friends try to fuck my
That's
girlfriend.
Fine.
Right,
as long as they tell you,
I got a flip side for you.
Of course, the point is.
I got a flip side for you.
Well, because then they can fuck them exclusively.
What if they keep trying to fuck them? They're like when you find one you like, and if they during this thing right here, and you're like,
I need to know.
Thank you so much. But if you're really into it,
I need to know the facts.
But look,
yeah, you don't actually have to fuck them if you know she'll fuck. That's enough info for you, right? Like if I'm hit your girlfriend up and she's like wanting to fuck me, and I'm like, hey, your girlfriend wants to fuck me.
Same deal. That's fine. And that's
so don't let to
that's a favor.
That is, but if I fuck her, it's not.
No, hey. I'd say it's fine.
Interesting.
Fucking
wait,
a wife,
your girlfriend. I'm fucking.
Dude,
say yourself up.
If you can fuck my girlfriend, and then please tell me about it. That way, I cannot.
It's
be...
the betrayal, exactly.
But it's not a betrayal to me. Like in a way, it should
if
be
I don't
because
tell
we're
you.
Friends.
Yeah,
it should be.
Yeah, it is.
But
it
also,
is.
Like,
it's definitely way more on her.
You know,
I get it. I'm just,
you know what's worse is like not knowing that your girlfriend. Is fucking, I don't know.
How would you feel though if the guy who's trying to fuck your girlfriend all the time, like, you know, testing her, right? And she's constantly, she's doing it. He's just weaning girls off your track, right? Like, I fucked her, saved you from this, saved you from
fuck
this.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But what if you're with a girl and you really like her, and he tries to fuck her and she says no? Now, your girlfriend, you know, you're going to be more in love with your girlfriend, but are you going to be more mad at your friend for trying to fuck the girl that you're actually with?
No, because I just said that this is something I've actively been like, listen, this is what I want. I need to know, because I'm not.
It's going to be a hell of a wedding. Can I come?
I've definitely said before, if you can take her, you can have her. Right?
Right?
Like, okay. If you can take my girl, she ain't my girl.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be battle tested. If someone can. Listen, if someone could just. If someone can just walk up and
battle
tested. If someone can walk up and take my bitch, then they can have her. She wasn't mine.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't feel like no one belongs to me. So it's like, if you come up and this person wants. If she wants to go with you, that's between y'all at that point, I guess. But,
yes.
Like, it's still the betrayal. The betrayal there.
But how weird. How weird are we like? How weird are we talking about? She's mine.
That's what I mean. It's weird.
How fucking weird.
Even saying someone is mine is
weird.
That's why I don't like the labels. Yeah, it's weird.
Like,
my girlfriend.
My girlfriend. Are you fucked my girlfriend?
You belong to me. She belongs to me.
Dude.
But let's talk about like what were you doing? What were you doing? Do you have a job? Do you have any kind of future? Do you have any kind of things to bring to the table? Because at that point, if you're a piece of shit and your girlfriend fucks somebody, good for your girlfriend.
Okay, let me ask you this. Honest question. If your girl cheats on you, would you rather it be someone better looking than you or someone worse?
Better looking? Are you serious?
Well, some people will feel less threatened when it's someone worse. They're like, oh, well, fuck
I try that. Really hard to be who I am. And if I fucking, you know, if I can't be that person. And
I would also feel better if it was better. Better.
Listen.
It better be better.
Dude, I fucked
and
it.
I'm a judge.
I had a girlfriend in like the 9th, 10th grade area.
No way.
She lived in fucking like Frederick. It sucked. It was dumb. But anyway, long story short, she broke up with me because she was like, I think I'm gay. And so I had that. Yeah.
Fuck, you're gay.
Yeah, dude. Like, imagine having that.
You
want to
talk about
fucking,
bad dick, brother.
Right? So, like,
that's
I don't
hilarious.
Know what the fuck y'all are talking about.
I used to love
that. That's
men.
Worse
She's
than,
like,
they can fuck the ugliest guy of all time. It's not a fucking different sex than you.
Dude, making a girl switch her sexuality is top
notch. You
know
what?
She ended up
this
going back
you.
Again. I should get one, actually. She
you
switched
one?
Back and had a child.
Yeah, I got you.
Give him one. Yeah.
This one's for you.
Yeah.
You know what's fucked up? That was the perfect pour.
Was it?
Dude. I don't know.
Well, once I realized how much of that bottle we've already killed, I'm like, you know what?
Before I, you're already
N- before I say the N-word, let me fucking
you know.
Let me stop this tequila.
Bro.
This could be the
I got you. Dolphin noise every time you say the N-word. From here on out, if you hear
a
dolphin
sound
noise.
Like a fucking Sealand podcast. Wait, not Sealand.
Whatever
sea
sound
world.
You want.
Sealand's kind of
what sound would you rather have?
Dolphin sounds good.
I
mean, I'm not
going to
You got it queued up?
No, I don't, but.
Josh is like, I've been waiting.
But in post.
All right, baby, let's go.
Theo you say whatever you want.
Theo
I just got to write down the time.
Well, Theo Vaughn also does this thing where he goes, you know, we want to say it. He's like, sometimes, he goes, sometimes when no one's around, I write it down.
I mean, that's just human nature.
That's just so funny.
Tell me something I can't do.
Yeah, of course.
Dude.
Well, yeah,
but I don't really want to do that one.
No,
I don't really want to push that button.
Faggot is my word. I faggot love
it. Listen, faggot should
scripted.
It's a good word.
Faggot should be a word brought back.
Yeah.
Back like, in the '90s when somebody dropped a faggot in a rap song, bro, you knew they were coming from blood. Faggot. You know what I mean? A hard F faggot. Like,
hard F.
Faggot. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm never even talking about gay people. Never once have I used it for gay people.
No, I'm not gonna call a gay person a faggot.
But it's good for like hatred. But
the problem
though,
is,
like,
the problem is that fag was a stick of wood, a stick of burn.
Yeah.
For it. Bundle of sticks that were burned at the burn. So
lots of people I want to burn.
When you say no
gays though, no gays. So
you can't say no. You haven't met every gay.
You're right. No gays.
Some
currently,
gays.
Currently,
Mike Wilson burned some gays.
Not yet.
Potentially.
Statistically, there's probably some gays
some
I want to burn.
Humans, exactly.
I mean, come
regardless
on. The numbers,
of who they're
by the numbers, yeah. Math geeks, I'm not a math
statistically,
person. Yeah, has
you're
to
burn
be.
Some gays.
But dude,
so this is not going to be monetized, clearly. I guess BetterHelp's not sponsoring this episode.
I went to the Oregon game yesterday, right? And
was it beautiful?
It was awesome, man. Me and I took out to my stepson. We got up. First off, I go pick him up from school in the golf cart, right? Pick him up early. I was like, "You're fucking games at 6, but let's go pick him up."
There's nothing better as a kid.
Exactly.
Nothing better.
I got this day plan to go to Camden Yards. I was like, how can I make this better? Because everything I do with my kids, like, I want them to fucking remember till the day they die. So I was like, all right, you know what? It's 12 o'clock. I'm bored. Let me go pick this little motherfucker up. So I drive the golf cart.
I love that I'm bored was a part of the factors.
I'm bored.
I take the golf cart
up. Fuck
up
his education.
I go to school with the golf cart. Park it right in the parking lot. Go pick him up for school. I was like, you're driving, right? He gets to drive home for school in the golf cart. How fucking cool.
He's 4.
He's 13. So we get home and we play MLB The Show. We play Yankees versus Orioles, who we were going
to
go see.
Take him out of the school to go play MLB at home. Love it.
To simulate how the game's going to go. And I told him I was going to put a bet in however we did. Because he loves the fact that I bet. He thinks it's so cool. He sits up with me at night.
You got to start him young. Indoctrinate him into the gambling world young.
So we get up to the city, right? We park at the casino. We get scooters. We ride scooters to the Pickles.
Dude, this sounds like a great day for me.
I know, right?
Like, exactly. I wish you'd get me out of work tomorrow.
Dude, I take them to Pickles, right? Because I know the bartenders, I know the workers up there, so I'm going up there. We got them in Pickles. Go to the game. He gets a ball, gets a hat. We're killing it, right? And we end up losing, right? So the Orioles, like, everything hit. You know, it was great, but the Orioles end up losing. But we're walking home. We're walking back to the casino. And this person's obviously a junkie, not a homeless person, a straight up junkie. Comes up to me with Hudson. It's like, let me get 350. 350, exactly. Says, sorry, pal, I already gave it to the Loch Ness Monster. And that made my whole fucking night. And I don't give a shit. Hudson didn't understand it, but bro, I laughed from the train tracks to the fucking casino.
I mean, he couldn't have set you up any better.
Dude,
what are the chances someone's going to ask for a
350? 350.
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious? 350.
350.
Man, that made my goddamn day.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Did you see the Coors Light sign by any chance while you were up
I
there?
I did, and I, you know what? Look,
Gabriel. What are you talking about?
Look, listen.
We put the Coors Light sign.
Oh, okay. I've been wanting to say this out loud publicly, and, you know, Gabriel.
You're gay.
Great. Cable Signs is a great Pasadena company.
This is about to be a butt.
Good for them.
Dude, I love butts. I love butts. Let's get it.
After
let's
the
get
comma.
It. Let's get it.
But.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How fucking dumb is a blue triangle out in center field?
Right?
That looks fucking stupid,
have you
bro.
Seen it?
The Coors Light, cool. To the triangle, not put. Dude. You don't put a snowy cap on it.
I know.
You don't put a line to it.
Yeah.
You don't put a blue triangle on center field. What are you doing to our ballpark?
Think
Jamie ain't got shit on Mike.
No, I know. Who are you telling?
He's got a lot.
Who are you
cool.
telling?
I tried.
Well, I mean, I'm with you, Mike. I'm Team Mike, bro.
What does he have other than a salary? Other than an actual pay job.
He Googles well.
He probably knows what all this shit does.
Yeah. I'm Mike, Google this up for me, bro.
Dude, we're going to have this shit connected to the TV here soon.
Hey, I was ready to text you about that because
we're on it. Behind
screen,
the scenes, we're doing things.
About having a screen to where you could be like, hey, man, I want to talk. Hey, pull this video.
Pull up two girls, one cup.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that'd be dope.
One guy, one jar. You seen that?
No. But.
Can I tell you about it?
Sure.
Have you seen One Guy, One Jar, Mike?
No, but we talked about it on here. And I was.
The
forget it then.
The page I showed you on on Facebook that the,
oh, what is it called? It's
the,
great.
The death one, whatever.
Yes,
it was.
What's it called though? I did. I just watch someone die. Point
yeah,
four.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So did I just watch someone die on Facebook? It's so good.
The admin posts videos and it's like a GIF, right? It's nothing. It's usually like a sexy girl like a devil costume one. It's like a GIF and it's a link in the comments. Those are like Pain Olympics. Like those videos, watch out. They're not death videos
because they can't even post them on there. They have to put it in a link.
They're links and they're just like.
It's surprising what they can put on there. Did you see the cartel heads recently wearing the guy's face?
No.
So they skinned some dude and they had his face on top of their head and they were yeah. Yes, dude. This guy's floppy fucking face, dude. Oh my god.
That page is awesome,
dude. I don't know what it is about watching people die.
It's because we think about death so much and we see other people dying.
And it's just one of these things you just don't get to see. It's like this. It's one of those things where it also feels like taboo. You shouldn't be seeing this.
It feels like it makes life a lot more realistic. Like it shows you how fragile and how quick you can lose your life.
Oh yeah.
So I look at how many fears of death I have. I'm like, this shit could happen in the most gruesome way. Person right here is in the mall. I need to enjoy my life completely. And honestly, it helps me.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's the thing about like when people bump into each other at the bar and then are ready to fight or step on each other's shoe.
Or like, you step on my shoes, that's okay.
Yes.
I expect
my shoes
to get stepped. I'm not bringing my brand new shoes to the bar. I expect you to step on them. You call me a bitch, you're not going to make me mad if I want to fight you and kill you.
Yeah.
It's going to bring a little bit more.
I can't throw pieces of my body at pieces of your body to hurt you. It doesn't even make sense.
You just call me a bitch?
Like, well, it's just like,
serious,
well, I watch these dirt murder docs and I watch those murder videos and it's like people are getting murdered for nothing because some people will
for
think
nothing.
People will think like, oh, there's cameras in here or no one wants to go to jail.
Give a fuck.
I watch videos every single day where people don't give a fuck about jail.
You saw that cat in the mall, you get stabbed in the neck like that. That was the most fucked up video I've seen on there. And it's not because of the way he died. It was because a group of guys were ready to fight, right? And they all walk away and then the guys start talking shit, chirping, and the other guys walk. And there's three guys walking back to him, right? And the one guy, the biggest guy in the mall. It's a fucking mall. Guy walks back to him. Other guy walks up to him. He's got a knife. And the other guy squares up. Other guy goes like this. Achoo! Sticks him one time in the neck. And he's sitting there. And the fucking blood squirting. The biggest guy. Big jacked up motherfucker. Squirting. And everybody
don't matter how big you are.
Everybody starts fighting. He's just sitting there away from the fight. And he goes. And just falls out. And starts convulsing. And I'm like. That is eye-opening. Like, if you don't learn something from that...
Yeah.
Like,
There's a one thing, and then once your eyes are open, you could stop watching. We were watching to the point of, like, we're not learning anything. You know? It sounds good, and you're right. I do agree that it does remind you of how fragile we are, but at this point, we're just, like, being gluttonous.
I mean, yeah,
you know?
On that site, bro.
Yeah, yeah. That one's dark. But I fuck with it.
We want to talk about...
I don't know what else is going on. Let's see. My dad's
dead. Hey, how's your TikTok going?
Oh, it's non-existent. Yeah. I started one and then didn't do anything with it.
Well, if this doesn't work TikTok, is that what it's called?
Yeah, if this doesn't work podcast.
TikTok, hop on that thing.
We need to be doing that too. We should just be doing all these things at one time.
Yeah, we're going to start a few different things just to try to get more out there, you know?
Yeah, that TikTok shit, that's the real deal.
Yeah, until they shut it down.
I ain't shutting down.
They ain't shutting down.
And even if they do, like, everyone's doing shorts now. So, yes, like, you don't have to have TikTok anymore. You can do, they got Facebook shorts.
Yeah. If they shut it down, Elon's going to buy it and fucking turn it to
the Well, I want to start posting on X. Yeah.
I looked at X. I don't know. I don't understand how it works. Like, I try to figure out how you would post.
X is fucking open, air, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like, post anything on your thing. But, like, there's not, like, an official, like, you can download
a podcast.
I think
there's a creator page.
Okay, maybe I didn't see that part because
I
couldn't
like
figure out that part.
We'll look at it.
Yeah, I knew TikTok was dope when I was doing my singing stuff and I was putting that stuff out. TikTok was dope. TikTok, I believe, is the way to go.
Well, TikTok's cool. People say that the reason they're... Why do you think they're banning it, truthfully?
It's because too much information is getting
out there. That's what the conspiracy is that it's so much unfiltered information.
That, to me, wouldn't even be a conspiracy. Well, that almost is like... I don't want to say I know the fact because I don't know the fact, but... There is no other platform like TikTok. There is no thing I learned from or get knowledge
from.
Dude,
you could watch the Ukraine and Russia war,
bro,
on TikTok.
And you can get right on Google and look all that shit up, and all that shit's spot on.
Boots on the ground.
TikTok is fucking open air market for knowing anything that's going on in the world.
It is. And it's easy to discount because you're like, it's this little kid's dancing.
TikTok taught
me
that. You remember those fucking crackers? You know, Ritz crackers.
Like whites?
Ritz. Oh. Ritz specifically.
Yeah.
You know how they got rigid edges. You know how the crackers all have them it looks like a tire almost, right? The outside circle is a ridge.
Okay.
Right? And the inside circle,
if I have you pay no attention idea to where it, you're going with this.
I do. The inside circle is a ridge too.
Okay.
The fucking Cheese Whiz for Utz, the Utz Cheese Whiz. If you put a cracker on top, the little circle in the middle of the cracker, you put a cracker on top of the Cheese Whiz thing and you just start pushing that Cheese Whiz thing, the rivets let it roll
and fall around it?
Perfect.
No way.
And it falls into place.
Why wouldn't they advertise this?
They don't advertise it, but it's only with the Utz Cheese Whiz and the Utz Cheese Crackers. Now, that's the only one I tried. I didn't try other ones.
But you did try. You're not just going off of TikTok. I didn't just watch TikTok. They do a lot of fake TikToks.
Yeah, I did it. And it was mind-blowing. It changed my life. I called my dad because my dad's favorite snack was that. I called him and said, listen, dude, you will not fucking understand what I just found out. You know what I mean? Changed his life.
Damn, dude. No, I didn't do much with it. I started it. Here's the thing. I feel like to be successful at it, I kind of need to see what's going on there. And I just wasn't spending a lot of time on it. I'm so terrified of just being sucked into it.
Once I got shadow banned, it was game over, man. We blew up. Like, Chelsea, my wife, she was like, dude, TikTok's for kids. You're a grown man. You don't. What are you doing posting TikToks? So I'm like, listen, our kids are funny as shit. We do funny stuff all the time. I'm going to fucking post it out there because people want to see. People want to, you know.
Your kids are funny.
And it's not even.
Funny looking. It's funny.
It's not even the fact that I did it so people can see. It's almost like I did it, and I've gone back to this many times, that like when people have kids, the general idea is you lose your life. Like life is over. You got to take care of these kids. But that's like far away from the case. If you
should be the opposite, yeah.
Sure. I mean, we have a village behind us. Like, we have all our families. You know, I'm still, my parents are still together. Her parents are. We got a village behind us and everything like this. But
nice to acknowledge.
But the fact of the matter is that it's to show people that your life can be even better with kids, and it's just an aspect. It's just a view. You know what I mean? It's not saying have kids.
Sure.
But to show people like me, people know who I was. People know who I was before I got into the dad game. But like, dad game. Just show them like, hey, life is still fucking top tier.
Well, yeah,
and that's the whole point.
And
of
there's
it
whole new avenues. Like, there's, dude, not just, it's not just like the same type of top tier. There's new avenues to make it even
exactly
more top tier.
And I got on TikTok, and I believe it was the fourth or fifth video I posted, and it went viral, and it was. It was the Cussing Wednesday video, and it was...
Which is what?
It was on Wednesday. My grandmother started this. On Wednesday, the kids can cuss, right? The kids can say whatever they want. They can't cuss at us. They can't say, hey, fuck you, mom.
Yeah,
fuck
they can't
you, dad.
Cuss to each, at each
and
other.
And they can't
yeah
cuss out.
They can cuss, but not at you.
Yeah, and they can't cuss in public. Like, they can't go out and, like, we're open space and be like, whatever. It's a way to purge, but it's a way to learn control.
Yeah, I've heard, like, go in the bathroom and scream your cuss
exactly
words and stuff
and
like that. So I've heard stuff like it.
My grandmother did it just because my grandmother is just, you know, the best, but...
Still
I like
alive?
To, yeah, she's still alive. I like
shout out Granny.
I like to think about like you know, kids over in other countries are drinking wine with dinner. You know what I mean? And the alcoholism in other countries are minuscule compared to ours.
Mm.
It's because the rebellious side, I believe, is out of it. You told me I can't do it, I'm gonna do it. It's out of it. So you introduce it to them and they're like, well, it's a fucking word. You know what I mean? If my kid's looking at me like that's fucking funny,
yeah,
I'm laughing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
And most parents, when they say, a kid goes, what the hell? They're laughing. They're like, oh, stop. Like, how am I going to laugh in front of you and tell you that's bad? Like, it's a fucking word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we started the Cussing Wednesday, and I made a video about it on, like, the fifth TikTok. And then, like, we were at the house, made the video. We go to Friendly's, and by the time we get to Friendly's, it was a five-minute drive. I got, like, 175,000 views.
Jeez.
From that drive. And my phone's just going zzz, and I'm like looking at Chelsea like,
I'd have called my boss like, I quit.
Yeah, looking at Chelsea like, yeah.
You make $40 or something.
I told you, you know what I mean? So then it just, the next one I posted, it went to 3 million views in like 2 days.
God,
and
damn.
I had that the Daily UK. The Daily UK messaged me and asked me to do an article on it. They did an article on it.
For real?
Yeah, man. They in UK they put an article about the video because it was so torn between if it was child abuse or if it was just comical.
You said I abuse him, but not on camera.
And it was just like my kids were just so funny. Like, I don't ever want to say like I went viral. You know what I mean? Like, my family went viral because like we're just I pride myself on having a great family, and I want to show people that. Like, it's how the world can be. It's how it can be. It's not scary to have a family. Right. Dive into it and appreciate it. And
yeah, it's kind of cool to, like, be anti that these
exactly.
days.
Yeah. Exactly. That's all yep. it's all for. It's not using my kids to get right. a platform. Yeah, I never yeah, yeah. wanted nothing. Like, I didn't, like, when that video went, when that video went viral, I had two offers sent to me to buy the video, right? And I was like, I'm not selling this video. I don't want to sell it. I don't want them to go and out of the generous because when you sell it, you give the.
Why don't you start person... selling videos to your kids? It gets to a slippery slope, brother.
Can well, we they, ask how much?
No, they didn't give me a price. They said they were going to give me a. They were going to buy it out, but it wouldn't be an initial money. It would be what they returned on it, and okay. it also gave them
on the full, back end.
Yeah, it also gave them full control of the video.
Of course, so it's now like, theirs.
No, man, I'm not doing this for that. I'm just, my point is to show people, like, having kids is, can be fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, a lot of times people think I'm anti-family or anti-kid.
No, yeah, I know you're not.
I know you know. I know yeah, you're not. Yeah, yeah, I get that a lot, just because I'm like, well, it's not what you have to do. All I'm saying is you don't have to.
It's not what you have to do, and but, you know, I was 20 years old and dove into a life of a stepfather. I didn't have to do that. I don't expect anybody to do that.
Well, stepfather's a whole different thing.
I don't say, like, hey, you ain't made it yet. Hey, I'm a step above you. I took on a challenge that other people wouldn't. You know what I mean? So it's not about me being better. It's
well, there's
me
something about
life.
Being a dad, and there's something about being a stepdad. And you could say that being a stepdad's like a little more, almost more noble.
Being a stepdad is very noble, but the yeah. thing is being a stepdad for somebody who doesn't have a good father, that's a noble thing. But being a stepdad for somebody who's got a great father, which Hudson has a great father, Cody. It's a great father. Me and him are friends. They come over to the house. I mean, we have a good relationship. Me and Cody talk at all the sports and sporting events. He's a great father. So it's like, I didn't have to fill a role of being a father. I just had to fill the role of somebody being there.
Interesting. I would say it's still noble, but that is a great point. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Being a stepdad to someone who doesn't have that father figure.
Exactly.
It's a different thing to then being someone, which is a whole different dynamic. It doesn't make it easier or harder. It's like, that's a whole different thing.
Our buddy, Kyle, his father just passed.
I don't
passed.
Like him. Not my buddy. Fuck no. Kyle.
Shout out Michael Bush for sure. Got to give that shout out. His father just passed, and it's horrible. But his brother Aaron, Mr. Mike wasn't his father, and Kyle's brother gave a eulogy talking about. I hope Kyle doesn't mind me talking about this. He gave a eulogy talking about how all he ever wanted to do was to be a stepfather for somebody else that. Came into his life like Mike did and how Mike changed his life and Mr. Mike did everything because his father didn't want him and he felt like he wasn't wanted and Mr. Mike gave him that feeling. So his goal that he told everybody at the eulogy was that he wanted to be a stepfather and to be able to give the same gift that his father, you know, his father Mike gave to him.
That's beautiful.
And bro, rocked my soul.
Oh yeah.
Because like that burden of filling those shoes is not there. But I'm doing exactly what he wanted to do. I'm giving Hudson that outlook, but I'm also not giving him the father figure that he didn't have because he has it.
Yeah.
I'm giving him another outlook on the father figure that he already has.
Right.
I'm there. I'm almost like an uncle, but I'm a father. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's lucky to have two father
for
figures.
For sure.
You know,
and
male
like, shout out Cody life. For being a great father and always taking care of Hudson and, like, I don't think it would have been nearly as easier or capable of doing if it wasn't for Cody being so great. Because,
yeah, sure.
You know, I hear these horror stories awareness. Of these people, like with these stepfathers or stepmothers that it's like, bro, I could never. I mean, the worst thing I got to worry about is like forgetting something that they're supposed to bring with them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just blessed, and everybody in my circle in my village is just. Top tier.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't.
You got a good squad.
Dude, I do for sure. And it makes it much easier for sure. I mean, everybody likes to message me and say, Grimes, you're doing so good. Like, you're such a great dad. I love watching you being a father. But like, what they don't see is all the stuff that goes into play that allows me to be a good father. You know what I mean? They see my snaps, they see my Facebook stories. But what they don't see is all the stuff that goes into. Having to be able to have the freedom that I do with these kids, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, you're only seeing a small portion of what's going
seeing
on.
Seeing a small portion. And
yeah, that's
I'm getting the love, but, like, everybody needs to get the love because without you know, Chelsea's mom, my mom, our grandparents, my grandparents, you know.
Yeah, it does take a village. That's the thing. It's like people are trying to do it by themselves.
I don't preach on people because not everybody has
different
what
scenarios.
I have.
Yeah.
Different. I met this lady at a practice for Hudson one time, and her husband was he was in some kind of military. I don't know what he was, but he was some kind of military where they were always moving. And this was her first year. She's doing homeschool. She has an older kid in sports, a younger kid in sports, and she's there with like all the kids while the dude's, you know, doing his thing. And they don't have any relatives here. They're renting a house, and I'm like, you know, you deserve a trophy.
It's nonstop.
I can
almost
picture,
impossible. Yeah.
Like my life is almost spoon fed. Like it's not spoon fed. Well, it's not spoon fed.
No, of course. But that's the difference. People think that privilege means spoon fed. And it's like, no. One of my favorite quotes about privilege is, it's not that I made the right choices, it's that I had the right choices to make.
Yeah, yeah.
Because some people don't.
That's awesome.
Some people aren't given those same choices. Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like, is it this or this? Some people are like, the two different things are way different.
And the thing was, like, I'm watching this lady and I'm talking to this lady and I'm watching her and she's making work just like I am, which is like, humbling, because like I know how hard my life is. My life is not easy. My life's hard, but when I know, I also appreciate my life.
Yeah, it makes it rewarding.
But exactly, to see somebody like I didn't say, oh, I'm down on myself. Like, this lady's doing it all by herself. I'm not like, oh, well, I got it easy. I'm thankful. It makes me more thankful for all the people that are in there. You know what I mean? Like, God damn it, I couldn't tell you how many times my mom or her mom has been MVP, just popping up out of nowhere. Like, hey, I forgot Chelsea's going out of town for a week. I forgot to set a babysitter up. Hey, I need last minute babysitter. Gotcha.
Oh yeah. That's like fucking $1,000. It's like unfeasible. It's not even.
It's just, I just couldn't be happier with the setup I have. I mean, which is weird because you talked to me a couple years ago, 5 years ago. It's like, this is the fucking hardest fucking thing. I can't fucking do it, dude. I'm fucking know what I'm gonna do. But man, diamonds come from pressure, for sure. I mean,
the same steam that boils the same heat that boils the that hardens the egg softens the potato.
I also feel like if you're
or
going
some
to
shit, some Zen master,
so many people have talked to me or have given advice, and this goes for any field, not just parenting. You know, you have all these different stories of all these people and nightmares and stuff, and you're like, you'd be a fool not to learn from them. You know, we're watching the game be played. The people before
and then they're walking right into it.
Yeah, and they're just telling you.
And they're walking right into it.
You feel like they're just trying to tell you, hey, don't get married. Like, just telling somebody, hey, don't ever get married.
That's the wrong message.
That's
exactly
the wrong message. It's like, you're going to get married.
The real message is what?
Is
set it up how you want. It's like,
okay, I got the real message.
To me, that's the real message. It's not don't get married. It's don't do the exact same thing and be miserable and lose your sense of self.
I got the real message for you. And this message was given to me on our honeymoon. And this is the realest thing that I've ever been told by a couple in my life. And we get married and our honeymoon's in Jamaica. And $1,500 of our money that we have saved up gets misplaced. And we don't know how it got taken, whether it was stolen, whether it was misplaced or whatever, we don't know. But that $1,500 was for our excursions out in Jamaica. So we get to Jamaica, $1,500 less. We had the money in our accounts, but it was the money that we had it for was, it was for Hudson's baseball team. So we had to cover it for his tournament. So we had to pay the $1,500 out of our pocket, which was all of our excursion money.
Sure.
So we get out to Jamaica and we're having the best time of our life. Still to this day, Jamaica is the best time of my life. We have enough money for one excursion that of the five we wanted to do. You know what I mean? And the one excursion is like on a midday week, we're going to go to Brick Cafe. It's across the island and everything. It's like an hour trip. So the one excursion that we have, we get in this bus and it's another couple. And this couple is an older couple and they've been together 25, 30 years, something like that. You know, and we got an hour trip in this bus with just them. So I asked the most cliche question, like, hey, what's the secret? You know what I mean? They were celebrating their anniversary. What's the secret? And the old man looks at me.
Cheat often.
The old man looks at me and goes, you guys have kids, right? And we're like, yeah, of course. Like, those kids are your whole world. And we're like, yeah, like you'd put anything over those kids. It's like, absolutely. Like you'd even put those kids over yourself. Like, no doubt. He's like, well, that's where you're wrong. And that's where you'll fail. And I was like, what? And we're all in this van. This dude could have just gave me the most nonchalant answer. Like, yeah, just love your wife every day. But this man was ready to fuck me up with some info. And he's like, the problem is with most people is when you get together, you have a baby, you have multiple babies. Somewhere along the line, you forget about the person that made those babies with you. He said, you're going to fall out of love with that person almost immediately because you're going to be so focused on these kids.
It becomes about this other thing.
He's like, but the thing is, those kids, when they grow up, they're going to hit 18, they're going to hit 20, they're going to hit 25. They're going to be out of your life. They're going to go start their own lives. They'll be in your life, but they're going to be on their own journey.
Oh, yeah.
So the one thing that you can't forget is the person sitting next to you, because when they're gone, that's all you got left.
Mm.
And that shit hit me so hard.
You got to nurture that one.
Make time for the dates.
That's still your relationship.
Make time for the adventures.
Just your baby mom. That's your woman still.
That's not just the girl that brought the best thing into your life. That's the girl that helped you bring the best thing into your life. She brought it in. All you did was, you know, plant the seed. But the thing is don't ever forget the love that you have for that person. Because one day, that ball of joy that you have running around for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, they're going to fucking hate your guts. They're going to be mad at you. They're going to fucking want to go hang out with their friends. They're going to turn down family game night because they want to go out to the movies or whatever. But you know that one person that's not going to turn that shit down is your wife or your husband. You need to make room for that. And I'll never forget that. And what made the guy so much cooler was, he dropped Black his guy. Mixed guy. Right? I don't even know what he was.
He got cool points already.
We were talking about some kind of liquor that was illegal out there. It was a clear version of some liquor, right? And we get there, and me and Chelsea are having a good time. And like midway through the time at Rick's Cafe, these people are sitting across the bar. They saw where we were, sent two shots over our way. It was like, bartender's like, hey, make sure this is a love shot. You know what I mean? And we were like, okay, we look over, he's waving at us, and we were like, you know, that man didn't have to go that hard. But that was the most truth ever, because every day I find myself being selfish. And it's okay to be selfish sometimes. It really is. Everybody.
Yeah, I struggle with, in a relationship, I struggle with, like, being hyper aware that this is my one and only chance at life, and therefore I should live it how I want to. And then I struggle with that on one side, and then like regular compromise and negotiation within a relationship. It's a hard balance.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but can I bring up a story that you told me a while ago?
Probably. If it has to do with rape or murder, we'll cut it.
When we were hiking the Billy Goat Trail.
Okay.
And you told me on the way out about you and Tosh.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want it in here. Okay. She would hate that.
All right.
Can you write this? Write this number down. Done. Just so that's out of there. She's not a big fan of
it. I get that. Yeah. No, that's why I asked.
Yeah.
And but I won't even talk about it on the topic no more. But yeah.
That was probably the realest shit that had been said on this entire podcast in 19 episodes. Like,
which one?
Well, like, love your wife. Like, it's not even like love your kids less. Like, it's just like, make sure you fucking stay.
And to the naked eye, you think like love your kids less. No. You're fucking talking to me, but like, that makes so much sense. Like,
yeah.
That girl is the one I chose to bring the version of me into.
Yeah,
the
look. Yeah. People not only lose that relationship, then they lose themselves in being a parent. So like, not only do you got to keep yourself, you got to keep that relationship fire stoking.
Like, me and, like, I've been off work, right? Like,
once a year, hotel room, no kids, jacuzzi tub, MDMA. Go.
Yo, bro.
One time a year for the MDMA.
Oh, all right. Sure.
Like, I've talked to so many people, and I'm like, wow, I got to get dressed up for my wife. She's seen me behind. Bro, what do you mean? Listen, get dressed up. Get her the flowers, get the reservation, get a limo, do whatever you can, because you are going to be more unattractive day by day.
And you have to compensate for the small dick.
Yeah, for listen, dog, the small dick is why I have such good first dates.
That's why I'm so good at eating pussy, brother.
But no, you have to go out and you have to do that stuff, because this girl, Like, my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world to me. So if I think that, then she's going to work. She's going out in this world. And if she's that infatuating to me, then she's got to be ringing other guys' bells. So if that's the case, she's in this professional world. She's going out with all these guys that have so much to offer to her. What am I bringing to her? Now, I know what I bring to her, but I need to remind her what I bring to her. And I'm not saying she don't know that, but it's a good reminder when she comes home and I'm like, hey, we're going out to dinner. I got a collared shirt on. I got some good cologne on. My hair's done. It's showing her that I still give a fuck.
Yeah,
it's
important.
You know what I mean? Like, I've been on workman's comp. Sitting home at work. Sitting home at my house and going to physical therapy. And 2 days a week, she works from home. So when I go to physical therapy, I make a point to like, hey, do you want to meet me for lunch? Certain little things like that. It may seem like so minuscule, so I'm just wasting money. But it's showing her like, I want to take you to lunch. I don't just want to. Nothing's more attractive to say, hey, babe, you want to have sex tonight? Hey, do you want to play in sex tonight? Hey, do you want to do this? But like, sex ain't even the main goal. The main goal is
the connection.
The main goal is to make her realize, hey, I'm here for you.
Yeah, and we're choosing to do this. This isn't like we're just here at the house and we happen to be spending time together. We're still choosing one another.
And there's going
to
be moments where I don't want to be fucking in the same room with you.
Of course.
And this happens, and it's not a problem. The problem is when you try to mix those. Like, sometimes you just need some space,
right? And when you think that's a problem, that can be a problem. But if it's not a problem, that's okay.
Needing space
seems normal.
Exactly. When I'm mad and we're just gonna sit there in the same room and just be taking shots at each other, like, that's not healthy. You know what I mean? But what is healthy is
taking on the boxing gloves.
Yeah,
going out back.
Listen. Chelsea's no stranger to the left hook, and I'm no stranger to the right hook. You know what I mean? But the thing is, man, the main, from what I have found, it may all be wrong. Maybe that guy in the limo or the bus was full of shit.
I was high when I said that.
Yeah, maybe. But it's been okay for me. You know what I mean? And accepting the fact that you're not always right. You need to... Just because you believe something and you were raised that way, like, that's so cool about me and Chelsea. Like, Chelsea was raised a whole different world than I was. Like, blue-collar, hardworking. Her dad, her family was all hardworking, but they had these government jobs and they all had this money and stuff. But principles-wise, like, just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean that is exactly the way things need to go. Learning how to compensate, like, that's a big thing. That's not just I'm going to go to bed with her, or I'm going to watch TV shows, where compensation between a relationship is fucking huge. It's a constant practice. It's not just easy, because you can do one thing, good for you. You want a cookie? Good for you. You did one thing. Doing it consistently, and I need work on that. Everybody needs work on that. But doing it consistently is big, you know what I mean? Showing somebody that's like the ultimate sign of love for me. You know what I mean? Like, showing somebody, like, and not just doing it. Okay, let me give you an example. American Idol, right? Chelsea loves American Idol. I used to love American Idol, right? Back in the day, I used to watch the intros and the stuff, but she watches it religiously. And I see couples have these shows on Netflix that they binge together and stuff like that, but mine and Chelsea's schedules don't line up to where we can watch shows. I watch a lot of shit at work. American Idol, we make sure we have one night, we get on together, we watch it on live. And since we've been doing that, like, I feel just that alone, I feel this much closer to Chelsea. You know what I mean? Like, and I love it. And it's great, because I thought I would hate it, but I love it. And I tried to do it with The Bachelor. I can't. The Bachelor.
Dude, some of them suck so bad.
Son, The Bachelor is the biggest joke in the fucking world. And I try to watch with her and I just laugh. And I'm just laughing. And she's like, you're ruining this for me. And I'm like, okay, all right, I get it.
Yeah, it's tough.
But American Idol, man,
American Idol is tough because everyone has to have, their whole family had to burn in a fire.
Oh, dude, we're crying our eyes out.
They always have to have the saddest story.
I fucking cry my fucking eyes out.
Yeah, it's such a tired
all the time with her. And we sit there, but just like that alone, right? That just taking that step forward in a relationship has done. I try to tell her, like, hey, I'm going to start going to sleep with you. Because I know it makes you feel closer. And I've read this. I've read it a lot. A lot of girls like that. A lot of girls like the fact that a man will go to sleep with them when they go to bed. But Chelsea goes to bed like 8, 9 o'clock, and I'm like, yo,
yeah, and your sleep schedule.
The Orioles just came on the West Coast. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to wrap up. But like, I know I need to be better at that. You know, it's all about sacrifice.
I mean, getting better. It's all about getting better. You heard it here. American Idol, keep your marriage alive. Let's wrap this up. I'm cold, dude. It's freezing down here.
Pussy. Just kidding. I'm wearing a hoodie.
Put a hoodie on, bud.
Hey, thanks for coming. I appreciate you. Episode fucking 3000 of A Super Not Gay, if this doesn't work. Subscribe, comment, some engagement, please.
Let me know.
For Sheila. Yeah, tell Josh how much he sucks or how much you love him or anything. Just comment. And also share it and subscribe. You know, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. So if you could do that, I won't kill myself.
Thanks for watching.